PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Gonna find my baby, gonna hold her tight, gonna grab some afternoon delight.
Sky rockets in flight.
Boo!
Afternoon delight.
Whoop!
Afternoon delight.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. It is Wednesday here at Gillette Stadium, and the page is turned now toward the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Officially, media day. I like having that regular schedule back. No Thursday games. No,
you've been all over it.
I know. For 2 days, he's been talking about it.
For like a week and a half. It's
good
like,
Lord.
Well, you know, you
get over it. You're not a player.
The preseason with all those Thursday games. Everything's all screwed up. And now, finally, we're back to football on Sundays. That's good.
But we have a night game next week. Does that mess you up?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But
it's good for me.
So we're looking forward to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. A lot of personnel news going on, suspensions being revoked, and we'll talk about all of that. Darrelle Revis coming to town. I think, you know, whenever he's on the field, it's a good test for whoever's throwing the football. So
and whoever's trying to catch it.
Yeah. So we'll see how that works out, and we'll talk about that. Also, some stuff going around the NFL that I think is interesting to talk about. Bernard Pollard fines $42,000, and that's always a good thing whenever he's fined for anything.
Well, Goldson was $100,000.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well,
so he got his suspension revoked, but
he got the Ed Reed treatment. We'll take away the game, but we'll give you a big fine.
Right.
But that's a big fine. Did Ed Reed get fined $100,000 last year?
I don't know, but it was a lot.
Because I know Sue got fined $100,000 opening week, and I thought people said that was the highest one ever.
Yeah, I know Ed Reed got a big one. Seems to be you can buy your way out of.
I think Ed Reed was only $50,000. Now that I think about it,
only.
Well, yeah.
You're just throwing around these numbers willy nilly.
Yep. Anyway, webradio@patriots.com is the email address, 508-298-0398 or 855-PATS-500.
If you're in Ireland, 1-800-904-125. Ireland, call us.
We just added Italy, too, so I know that.
I don't have that on
yeah,
here.
We just added that one.
So, Al.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
More Paul, less Andy.
Yes. Now, that wasn't bad. That actually sounded somewhat Italian.
Oh, nice. See, too bad Giselle's not Italian.
No.
All right, so, guys.
Based on the way you talk, I have no idea what nationality Giselle is.
How are you guys feeling?
Okay.
About this
a decent
team,
night's sleep.
About this Patriots team, because.
Oh, not good.
You know, I think. You know, you guys made fun of me, but I think from the emails that we're getting and from what I'm hearing, people calling a talk radio, and it could be the minority being very vocal and coming out of the
vocal whack job minority.
I don't think there's a lot of people panicking right now.
Yeah, but I don't think that we made fun of you. I think that you're overrating the amount of people that are jumping off the bandwagon of this team. I think there are people that have concerns like the three of us do, and I include you with us in this. In terms of the offense, in terms of where the solutions are going to come from, that to me is not the same as 5-11. Like you had an email yesterday that you read that said they're going to go 5-11.
Right, but I'll give you another one of my economic indicators is that yesterday and the day before the Patriots.com
show just came to a screeching halt.
What is this?
I don't know, but I like it.
Who turned on Cinemax?
NFL
that's not what I'm looking
network is showing all kinds of women in bathing suits, which is
nice. I assume it's cheerleaders.
It says cheerleader NFL AM on the little thing on the side.
Ryan Clady out for the year, by the way, Freddie.
Yeah, left tackle for the Buccaneers, but
for the Broncos.
But going back to what I'm saying, the website numbers
now they
the
have a girl on webcam
for the last couple days.
I like girls on webcams.
You know it when you see it or hear it.
You know, so that tells me that a lot of people are like, you know, I'm not gonna invest myself.
Talk and take.
You know, that much into this team until they tell me that, you know, they're gonna be contenders.
But they're gonna be contenders because they're gonna win the division and they're gonna go to the playoffs.
You know,
does that make you a contender?
I don't understand.
Because you never know what happens.
My mindset is,
you know, Carson Palmer goes down on the first play of the postseason or something like that. All of a sudden you luck into it like you've done before here. Be all things happen other places and you're like the 7 seed hosting a playoff game.
My mindset is over the last
12
years.
Now that would truly be unbelievable.
This team
7 seed hosting a playoff game.
This team has made it so that they need to prove to me when they're gonna be bad because of the last 12 years. But I think some people have the mindset, well, they need to prove to me that they're going to be good. I don't get that.
Or some people just look at it objectively and don't have either mindset and say, wow, they weren't very good the last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Maybe they just look at it like that. You don't have to assume they're going to be bad or assume they're going to be good. You've watched two games. They haven't looked all that good.
I agree with Andy. I think there's more people that are sort of analyzing the team right now than the people that you said they have to prove it to me to be good.
No, but that's fine to analyze. But as a result of that analysis, they're saying, forget about them.
I don't get
that.
Didn't we have like the highest opener ever? And
this is what I'm trying to say to him.
See, I don't go by the TV numbers because every year they go.
No,
up.
You go by the 8 emails you get, and you think that represents.
I go by traffic numbers on Patriots.com.
Are very high.
They're down.
Down from what?
This week.
From last year.
Oh. From this.
We haven't played since last Thursday.
From this week last year. Year over year.
Wait, you don't think that's altered by having a Thursday game as opposed to a Sunday game and the reaction to the game and all that?
But there's news coming out. We've got a game on Sunday, you know.
Don't get too focused on those geeky numbers.
Yeah, I think that you're working yourself up into a ball of knots.
I don't understand. To me, prove to me when they're not good, you're not good anymore.
Right, the Perillo theory. It always works out for Belichick and Brady.
Has over the last 12 years.
But I think most people are looking at it neither way. I think they're just looking at a team that looks like crap right now, but they're still watching and they're still hoping and they're still...
I look at it exactly the way Andy's saying. That's what I see is people might look at this team and say, hey, this isn't the best team we've had in recent years, but... until I see otherwise, I'm not going to just assume they're not going to get better. That this team always improves.
Yeah.
Generally, as the season goes on, I'm not going to deny that you have had.
I'd like to hear more of those people.
Well, I would suggest reading and listening to more people. Yesterday, you had about 15 phone calls, and 12 of them were basically what Andy just said.
But you
focus on the guy who said 5-11. I think that's a very small vocal. They're loud.
Yeah.
It's a vocal minority.
Yeah. No, and it could be that. Like I said when I started this, it could be the minority but very vocal because they seem to come out of the woodwork. You know, not just Patriots, Red Sox. You listen to the sports radio and, you know, it's different callers. When things are good, different guys call in than when things are bad.
Sure.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So.
It's easier to call and complain about stuff than it is to call up and gush over how great everything is. There's no question about that.
Well, nobody wants to hear that either. The Patriots are awesome.
You get made fun of.
And it's stupid. Now, if you tell me why they're awesome, but there are rarely positive, specific calls. You know, they're doing this, this, and this really well, and that's leading to X. Most people just, you know, they've been great, and Brady's really thrown it well. Yeah. But when it's bad, you know, the receivers can't run routes, they can't get open, they can't catch the ball, Brady's frustrated. You know, there's more detailed analysis of negative.
Yeah.
That said, I also find your little theory strange because you always complain, and our listeners complain, EEI is, you know, Red Sox. It's the flagship station. They're always, yesterday on my drive home, I click over. They were talking Patriots the entire time.
Nonstop.
And the Red Sox are coming down the home stretch of a 100-win season. The playoffs
and
are on.
And be honest, when they were talking Patriots, was it positive or negative?
Well, a large chunk of it was mocking Bill Belichick in his interview and making up skits.
Well, that was on.
Everybody loves Bill. And
I
wonder how
EI.
That'll be received. I sent you that. I wonder how that's going to be received by internally here. Now we're mocking the interview.
You know, we talked about this, and I don't think we did talk about it on the show. We've been talking about it privately, but I've seen a noticeable downgrade. And I know people made fun of those interviews, you know, in years past, but they've been dreadful, the Belichick on EEI, and I blame the people asking the questions.
Of course you do.
I do.
Well, it's apparently bothering Michael Holly. It's really, like, he keeps saying, I really think this is the week where they're going to get better, and, like, it's bothering him. Whereas Mike Salk is just taking the, that's just Belichick being Belichick.
Well,
there's not much
I think that's laziness. I think it's laziness. You know, I think they need to work harder at engaging him with better questions. I mean, if you ask,
you know what I would
Danny,
love? In all seriousness, know what I would love?
What?
I would love for Fred to have to interview him once a week for 10 minutes and make it interesting. I'd love that.
You know what? I think I'd make make more of an effort than these guys are doing.
Yeah, I just don't think you succeed.
Yeah.
'Cause
I really haven't seen the lack of effort.
You really loved when Glenn did it. You thought he was much more open, and I'm telling you
I do.
That 90% of the population that listened to it agreed with me and Andy that it was just as dreadful.
No.
Only he seemed to be a little bit more at ease with Glenn because he clearly likes Glenn.
Glenn, like, they weren't great. It's not like you.
They weren't great. They were terrible.
They were a lot better than what we're hearing now.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
I completely disagree with that. Yeah. I think they were dreadfully awful.
You don't like talking to any of these people.
I don't think the Brady interview in the morning is dreadfully awful.
No, it's actually usually pretty good.
Yeah, it is. You know, but you.
So you think if you put Dennis and Callahan in the afternoon, it would be a good interview with Belichick because Dennis and Callahan.
And
that
I
are
don't.
No,
so
I don't know about that.
I think Tom Brady brings personality and engages them and tries to play along, as we like to say.
Yeah, I think that you've got Belichick here for a certain amount of time. I think they can do a better job. You know,
so that's Michael Holly certainly thinks that. He keeps trying.
You know,
it's funny, it's bothering him.
Way Andy said it. He goes, I go home, and every week, on that Monday, I come in, I think, this is the week. This is the week it's going to be better. And it never is.
I think they need to be a little bit more creative in what they're asking, the topics. You know, if you ask, how's Gronk, you're going to get the same answer that the people at the press conferences asked.
So what should they ask?
Yeah, I have to think about it, but I'm sure there are other things to talk about. You know, get a little bit.
There are
more.
A million things to talk about. There are not a million things that he'd answer about.
Well,
I think should ask about left-footed punters.
But I think there's a lot of things that are, to me, very relevant in terms of the NFL at large. Not just Patriot-specific, not game plan-specific, but just trends, happenings, read option-type stuff around the league. Even when he answers something in tremendous detail on a football topic, it's boring. Like, you could ask him a read option question, and he'll go through the whole thing about how you have to account for the quarterback, and it's a numbers game, and you have to have as many as they have an extra blocker in the quarterback. And by the time he hits his second paragraph, you'd swerve off the road because you'd fall asleep.
Well, I mean, what if you asked about, now it seems read option is, kind of the rage in the NFL, but can you remember a time when, they were trying it? Years ago, and he probably would. He probably would give you specific examples of teams that tried read option and whether or not it succeeded and why.
And you'd fall asleep.
No.
Yes, just like we do during the press conferences.
No. See, I'm
also not sure he would answer those when it's not relevant. He tries not to go down too many roads of general stuff if it's not relevant to the game that week. Really, we're just focused on the Bucks, and the Bucks don't really run the read option.
Well, he doesn't want to get into talking about,
anything.
No, what
he doesn't real. I mean, listen. This is not a character flaw for Bill Belichick. I know, like Dennis and Callahan make it out to be that he's some sort of antichrist because he won't answer questions. That's not what it's about. He is not very open and comfortable answering questions to the media. It's nothing. It's not Bill's fault. This is who he is.
Yeah.
He doesn't like doing it.
It's also, wants to be.
And that's what I'm saying. I don't think he's going to do it, no matter what the question is, no matter how much he liked. I think he liked and respected Glenn as much as anybody. And he did not engage with Glenn. So he's certainly not going to do it with guys he doesn't know.
I think it was a better listen than what we're getting right now. I mean, Monday's conversation was all of like 10 to 12 minutes.
Oh, it was real short.
If that.
See, yeah. I think that makes it even better. Because I think when you drone on for 20 minutes, it makes it seem even worse.
Well,
but my one question is, Michael Holly spent a year with him.
Like, that's what I don't get.
Right next to him in various situations. You don't get that. You don't get the vibe that there is any kind of a dynamic, a bond there.
You don't.
And I don't know why that is.
Yeah.
Like, and even if Holly has been sort of excommunicated and he's now not part of the circle that he was once in, he should know what Bill said about people asking questions previously or what annoys Bill, what doesn't annoy Bill, ways that he can use the information he has, having spent a year with him, to get a better interview. And that has not succeeded. He's probably thinking the same thing, by the way. That's probably why it bothers him so much. I spent a year with this guy, I wrote a book with this guy, and I can't get a decent interview out of him. What is wrong with me?
Well, he should be asking what is wrong with me. Because
I absolutely do. I would look at it that way. I kind of look at it that way from our perspective. With like we work here. He knows us. He knows we're not going to try to do anything to hurt us. And yet we still really don't get anything different than anybody else. I think that way sometimes. Do you?
No, I don't. I think he is who he is.
No, I understand that, but I sort of wonder why.
It's not me. It's him.
I didn't say it was
okay.
Your fault.
Well, you seem like you're putting it on yourself. I don't think it's us. It's him.
No, I don't think it's Michael Holly's fault.
Right. It's him.
But I'm sure that Michael looks at it and says, why?
He should.
Like, I did all of this for you. I wrote a book that was basically a propaganda machine for you. And yet, I ask you questions and you treat me like something on the bottom of your shoe.
Right.
I don't get that. And I'm sure that Michael Holly looks at it that way.
But he shouldn't. It's not
no,
him.
It's not his
it's
fault.
Bill.
It's not your fault, son.
And it's what Bill wants to be, by the way. I'm not saying, like you said, it's not necessarily a character flaw. It's how Bill wants to treat the situation. I am not going to give you information. I'm not going to expound on things. This is just what I do.
Yeah, it's like people, you know, a lot of times people ask me what, you know, when they find out that you work for the Patriots or whatever, and you're in those, so one of the most commonly asked questions I get is, what is it like dealing with Belichick every day?
It's great.
And I always tell people the same thing. You know what? He's an extremely easy guy to cover because he's incredibly consistent. It's the guys that change from day to day and week to week, and they tell one guy one thing and another guy another thing. Those are the guys that are hard to cover. Those are the guys that I'm afraid that he's telling Mike Reese everything, but he won't tell me anything.
Right.
That's the guy that's hard to cover.
Well, it's frustrating, too.
Yeah. I think Bill is incredibly easy to cover because he's so consistent. I don't think it's, like I said at the beginning, you know, people look, he doesn't answer a lot of questions. Fine. You know that going in. So why would you get yourself upset?
Right.
So many of the
well,
media
that's the
people.
Thing. I don't understand people getting upset.
So many of the media
it.
People yeah. that have been around for a long time still get upset when they
right.
get stonewalled.
Right.
And I just don't understand. Eric does. Eric gets mad when he doesn't
right. well,
get.
He did 5 years ago when he asked a question.
He, right. just, he just got mad about 2 weeks ago when he stonewalled Albert Breer. Remember?
That's true. He gets mad for other people.
Like what? Like why do you get upset? This is.
Right.
I would be upset if one day all of a sudden he poured his heart out to the same question that Albert Breer asked, and then the next day Albert Breer asked it, and he did what he did.
Right.
That to me is something. Now no, that's not fair.
No, you hit the nail on the head, Paul.
He's so
absolutely
consistent. He's so easy to cover.
Right. He's absolutely consistent. And
by the way, they win all the time. So like you're not dealing with a 2-14 team.
And he wouldn't be here if that was the case.
Which is hard to cover.
But you know, with the whole injury thing, is there any wonder why he wouldn't want to get into talking about injuries after what we're hearing about Amendola? I mean, there's all these reports out there, and this guy's saying this. If I'm a head coach, I am steering clear of talking about anybody's injury.
Yeah,
I'm just not going to do
see,
it.
I don't think it's that big a deal.
And I look at it a little bit differently because I think that the reason you have all the stories is because the coach doesn't tell you anything.
But
if the coach told you something, then maybe you wouldn't have the conflicting reports.
But even telling you that, you can get a report, right, on one day and tell the media that and then be wrong. Then the report's inaccurate the next day.
You don't think people would understand that? If
yeah.
you give them
so
10
what?
Reports
but
and 9
wanna,
of them are right.
I don't want to be mired in that muck of having to explain myself about everything I said
I
about
don't see the
all
muck.
These injuries.
Yeah, I don't either.
It's like I see all these coaches that come off the field and give you an update or open their Wednesday practice, press conference with an update.
I don't see where it kills them and just bogs them down. I get the whole competitive advantage thing.
Right.
Whatever. I get that. And you know, maybe he wants to leave that door open for an opponent. Okay, I get that. That's a competitive advantage. I think he thinks more of that than I do, but that's fine. I think he legitimately believes it. But I'm with Andy 100%. I don't think the flip side is getting sucked down into some mire. I don't think John Fox is going to get criticized today. Yesterday he said, Clady has a sprained foot. He said specifically, and then they were asking about IR, short-term, you know, designated for return or what it was. He goes, listen, based on the information we have right now, it's a sprained foot, period. Now, today they put him on IR. I don't think he's going to get killed for that.
Right.
Why is he going to get killed for that?
Well, he didn't say anything.
He said he had a sprained foot yesterday.
Okay.
And now today he's on IR. So he clearly made it seem like it wasn't.
But John Fox didn't say anything more than an injury report will say.
Well, yeah.
He said more than Bill Belichick would have said.
And more than injury report would say.
Well,
I would say foot.
Well,
I wouldn't say sprained foot.
Whatever, but you know.
But there were reports
out
there.
Foot, yeah. Do you really think the guy go on IR because
yes,
of a sprained
because it
foot?
Was a Lisfranc injury.
Well, but he didn't say that.
That's what I'm saying. He didn't say
right.
what the injury was when everybody knew it yesterday, but I don't think he's going to get killed for it.
But that's my point.
There's no
upside to getting into details about other guys' injuries.
And that's fine.
And getting into timetables about when they're going to be
back. And that's
fine
as long as you admit there's no downside to it, because there isn't one. Because you just saw an example of it. He's not going to get killed for it.
I think there is a downside.
What is it?
I think if being consistent all the time means whenever there is a downside, you'll never have to worry about it.
What is the downside to what John Fox said?
No, what John Fox said, no, but I'm telling you.
What's the downside then? Tell me.
Okay, when's the next time you feel you don't want to talk about the injury why did you talk about that other guy's injury?
And what's the downside? So how does that hurt you?
Because you don't know, or you don't have a timetable, or you get inaccurate information. There's conflicting reports. Maybe the player himself doesn't want you talking about his injury.
So that would be a reason why the next time you wouldn't do it.
Right.
So why again, not how does consistent? That hurt you?
Why not be consistent like
Belichick? Well, there's a downside to that,
never
too.
Doing it.
We've had players tell us that they're pissed off that the injury isn't out there. We've had players named David Givens who didn't even know they were on the injury report because they didn't think they were injured. There's the other side to it as well.
Yeah, but that's... Putting a
There's
guy
downside to everything.
Yeah, I don't. That's internal communication.
No, but even the whole Ty Law, who's hurt, who failed the conditioning run. There are times when the not giving any injury information has annoyed players or had a quote unquote downside.
Yeah,
it's minor on the other way.
The injury information is given on the injury report, and I
but that's fine.
Actually, it isn't.
You get a guy.
Isn't. The injury information is not given. The location of the injury is given.
You get a guy who stepped up to replace a guy who's hurt. And every day, someone's asking your coach about when's the starter going to come back, and your coach is answering it. Well,
when he's back, when he's healthy.
I don't care.
You're
getting worked up.
You stop yourself.
I don't want these players thinking about, I've got two more weeks to play, and then that guy's going to.
So you think the head coach not talking about it ends that mentality?
That's ridiculous.
That's not what we're thinking about on my football team.
But the players think because Bill Belichick sees the guy out there and what he's doing
the more,
and knows
because
he's
Bill
close.
Belichick doesn't talk about you, Danny Amendola means the guy who's playing for Danny Amendola doesn't know he's coming back.
The more you talk about it, the more it's a topic. And if you talk about it sometimes, you kind of have to talk about it the time. You can't pick and choose. Belichick realizes
I think
that. Pick and choose when you're going to talk about it, so he chooses not to talk about it.
And other guys,
I think it's 100% the way every coach should do it.
No, but that's fine that he does. I already said that he's very consistent, and that makes him very easy to cover. But what I'm saying is I don't see the downside in the Andy Reid approach or the John Fox approach in talking about it all the time.
Because I think they're
just as consistent as Belichick. They always tell you what the injury is.
And sometimes they're wrong.
And it doesn't matter. This is my point.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, I think it does.
And also, one thing you're missing that you lose is a little bit of control of the situation. Because we know it's coming out, which means it's usually coming out through
which
the
is
agent,
right now.
The player, that
how,
the
how
family.
How can Bill Belichick take control of Danny Amendola's situation right now by talking about it? Even the doctors don't even know what's wrong.
You could say that.
Right. I mean, honesty is never wrong.
Yeah, so then, what do you mean the doctors? Now you
we've had some conflicting.
Opened up a can of worms. We're
dealing with some clear as a broken bone. There's some vagaries here.
We're dealing with some conflicting medical reports, and we're trying to figure out the best.
You're opening up a can of worms.
Listen, what can of
Fred,
worms? I don't
Fred,
get it.
You're misunderstanding Andy and I. We're not suggesting that Bill needs to do this. I don't think that he has to do this. You're suggesting that it's wrong to do it, and we're telling you there's no downside either way.
There's
no downside to the way Bill does it, and there's no downside to the way Andy Reid does it,
who I
once saw with a piece of paper in his hand.
Oh, my God.
Read them all off.
John Seifert. Is that his name?
George.
I you're right. After a Carolina Panther game, I mean, I thought he was a doctor. Going into specifics immediately after the game. I'm talking 12 minutes after the game, going down a list.
And
you know
what that prevents sometimes? Digging.
Right. The misinformation makes, or the...
The media in general is lazy.
Guided information.
Well,
the media in general, we're lazy.
And it makes,
so if we get the information handed to us, we won't go digging
it. I would... And you're right. There's nothing wrong with doing it the other way.
Either way.
That's all I'm saying. I'm not suggesting that Bill needs to change.
I think it's a hell of a lot smarter to do it Bill's
way. No surprise
there. Turning to Scott Pioli.
Yeah.
I'm not saying our way is the only way.
No surprise
It's
there.
Just the way we like to
and
do
again,
it.
And again, I'm not suggesting that Bill needs to change.
It is
not,
what it is.
I don't think that he does need to change. I think he does it fine. I just, the whole, like, this is the way everybody should do it. That's the part that I bristle
well,
at.
I believe that.
I have another question.
Yeah.
Do you believe any injury information comes from the team?
What do you mean?
When we get reports that sources, whether it's the Boston Globe or the Boston Herald, do you think all of those come from outside
the...
Oh, okay. So the team is addressing injuries when it needs to. So there isn't always a consistency.
No, I said it doesn't. A lot of times it comes from the agent.
I just asked you, do you think it's always outside the organization?
I think most of the time it's outside the organization.
But there are times when they inject themselves through sources.
Not Bill Belichick.
No. I said the organization. I don't think Bill calls
How
in Rappaport.
Yeah.
But does someone from this building release injury information via a source
it's not condoned by Bill Belichick.
I think you're out of your mind.
Yeah, I have my doubts about that.
If you don't, think that they've ever gotten it out there to the people that they want to get it out there
not,
to?
Not condoned by
so
Bill Belichick.
So you think someone
not sanctioned.
You think somebody inside football would do something that they know Bill Belichick doesn't want to do?
It could happen.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't think that happens.
Yeah. Well, I'm just, you know, like if I'm Danny Amendola's or Shane Vereen's agent, I want people to know that he played most of that game with a broken wrist.
Well, how about this? How
you know,
you
I want that out there because that shows he's tough because I know he's going to get criticized for being hurt again.
Mm-hmm. How are you reading the the sort of the Gronk reports right now? Like, you know, suddenly yesterday out of nowhere, you know, looks like he's not going to play.
Less likely
oh, right. to play
They're
this
leaning,
week.
Leaning yeah. towards not playing him.
Right.
Yeah. I don't think that's just, you know, happenstance that stuff happens to come out in the middle of a week to cloud the waters and muddy the waters a little bit. I think you're naive to think that. I'm not saying this particular one is from the team.
No, I have no idea which ones.
I don't know. And
but some of them do.
I couldn't give you an example that I know. Hey, I know that one. Son. I know that right. one came from the team, but I'm with Andy. To think that that none of them have ever come from the team?
Well,
so there's already some inconsistency,
but
if you believe
But doing that way, there's also plausible deniability. If a coach stands up at a press conference and says it, well, then that's it.
Yeah, again, you and your plausible deniability. I'm the head coach of the team.
It's the first time I mentioned it.
I don't know. Well, you mentioned it a lot in other things that we don't need to get into now. Aaron Hernandez?
No, we just
plausible
about?
Deniability. I'm the head coach of the team. I don't need plausible deniability. I did what I did because I'm the coach.
Plus, but with a thing like injury,
I actually don't think he.
Why do I need to hide the fact that I said something?
As a head coach, it's one thing you can't control is injuries, recovery time, and all that stuff. So why get into it? You have no control.
I just think
over
it's
it.
Such a crutch
you
to say
you have no control.
You
over
You don't
it.
Get into it because if you say a guy's going to be out for 5 weeks and he's out for six, you look bad. You don't. You don't look bad.
I don't understand why you can't
I don't get that.
He's got a groin strain and, you know, we're unsure of the exact diagnosis right now. And, you know, the doctors are going to have to let it play out a little bit here.
Yeah. Well, I think.
What do you lose by that? Where's the downside?
I don't care that he doesn't get into it. So we don't need to go into that way.
No, I just want to know.
But I just don't see the downside.
Right.
Because I have to answer that every time somebody asks.
Yeah, that's real tough.
Bill Belichick can cut anything off anytime he wants.
Yeah.
He does it all the time.
But I think Paul is right. Being consistent is a lot better.
Right.
Yeah, but he could be consistent and answer it every time.
Well, he wouldn't want to answer it every time.
Because he doesn't want to answer any questions. Well, that's my point.
And if you're like me and believe some of the sources are team sources, then there is already an inconsistency when they decide
I'll
that is going to go out.
I'll do some research, and I'll find situations where coaches got themselves in hot water
about
injuries.
Yeah, and let me ask you something. Are they in hot water because of injuries, because of their record, or because of the injury situation?
No, because of what happened.
Because you won't find a guy who's in hot water with an 85% winning percentage. I'll tell you that. A guy who wins like Belichick isn't going to get in hot water because he misdiagnoses
no
an injury.
There's no reason to get into that stuff. You know, the league mandates that you come out with those injury reports. They don't tell you have to go any further. Why do it?
I agree. Because it doesn't hurt you. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
You ask why, we ask why not.
But it's as simple as that.
Unless
you can give me, you know, empirical evidence as to how it hurts you.
Well, the closest thing is the competitive advantage. I do think the vagary of a player's return
and to me, that's low on
can
the
help
list.
You. Oh, yeah. See, I think that's the only advantage.
And that's low on his list.
Right, that's my point.
Let's see. Robert says, generally, I agree with you, Fred, but your analysis of Bill's interview style is off the mark. He could be interviewed by David Frost, obviously a bit one-sided now. Robin Leach or the guys from EEI, it doesn't matter.
Robin Leach
is not going to answer any substantive question. As long as they win, he can get away with it. It's fun to listen to his non-answer to any relevant question.
It has become sport.
I try to use Bill's style in my meetings at work. It's fun.
We all do that.
When my boss asks why the results change, I just say it is what it is. You'd be surprised how often it works. When I'm asked about, I don't know where you work, but when I'm asked about problems from last week's report, I just say all I'm concerned about now is next week's report.
That's great.
If I'm sick and they ask when I'll be in, I say I'll let you know Wednesday at 5 p.m.
I'm looking good at home in bed.
All right. Webradio at Patriots.com is the email address, 855-PATS-500.
That's good. That's good stuff.
What else do we got?
We do have the two injury situations with Amendola and Gronk have sort of been
I wish I could shed some light on either
clarified and or modified over the last couple days. Gronk, as we said, the initial report was 50-50. I think that was ESPN, which, again, is not really a report.
Right.
If he plays, I'm right. If he doesn't, I'm right. Genius.
But then they said it's more like 25%. Remember that?
Yeah, the report said that it was more likely not
but
going to play this way. Right.
Then you shouldn't have said he was 50-50. You're being a E if you do that. Then the Herald said less likely was the sources, in quotes, that he was going to make his debut this week, that he'd be back this week. And then Amendola apparently does not have a sports hernia, will not need surgery, and is now back on that few weeks timetable that
now,
Jay Glazer initially.
It said he won't have the sports hernia surgery, but
he didn't have a sports hernia.
See, I think that makes a big
difference. But the other report
said, with you.
Well, but the first report they had said if he has a sports hernia, it requires surgery. So I'm just sort of using their information to say, you just said he's not having surgery, so by extension, doesn't that mean he doesn't have a sports hernia?
Fred is right, though.
The
follow-up story did say that he will not have surgery.
Right. But their first story said if he has a sports hernia, it will require surgery. So therefore, if it does not require surgery, doesn't it mean he doesn't have a sports hernia?
Maybe in the off-season he'll have it.
I am told that part of the treatment of a sports hernia, the first step is rest.
Admitting you have a sports hernia.
It's like step one in the 12-step program of sports hernias.
And then going on to apologize to everybody else who ever had a sports hernia.
Right.
They say that the first course of action is to rest and see, I don't know what the time, how much rest. I don't know if it needs to be a week, a month. I don't know how much rest it will require. But that is what I'm told is the first course of action that you see how it responds to a period of rest before you worry about.
Well, certainly not resting by putting him in full pads and having him run through tackling.
That part to me is very strange. And
unless he's ready.
There's been a lot of.
He rested last week and he's ready.
There's been a lot of speculation about it around here. I don't get it. I don't understand it.
Does anybody can
is there
anybody
a shred
clarify,
of accuracy to the stories?
No, but can anybody clarify to me exactly what a sports hernia is? Because I have a certain understanding, but I'm not sure if my understanding is accurate.
It's a more competitive hernia. I don't know. No, I had a hernia.
No,
I
but had, you just had a hernia.
Right.
A sports hernia is tied into the groin and the pelvis, my understanding.
Right.
And it happens a lot when you hurt your groin. The other stuff in the area, the
adductors,
is overexerted.
Yeah.
No. The adductor is the groin.
Okay.
The other stuff in that area coming down kind of from the abdominal is overexerted, and that causes the bulge or the irritation.
It pops through the wall.
So if we understand it right, he hurt the groin. He had the groin injury. We know he had that going back to at least the preseason. He was on the first injury report. And, we're kind of assuming there it was the same injury. There's always a chance it could have been something different.
Yeah, that's true.
But, so then when he tore it, would the sports hernia have come as a result of the second half coming out after he tore it? Now you've put additional stress on the area that becomes prone to a sports hernia?
I don't know. It could be. You know?
We just don't know.
I know my Achilles makes me forget things, so, things have different...
It's your Achilles heel.
Yeah, well, that's, when Andy said, we do have some injury.
I wish
I knew some of it. Mike Reese asked him what was wrong today.
Dan Kraft was making fun of you. Right. Look at this guy limping around.
Mike Reese goes, Freddie, what happened?
I play through pain.
You don't do anything.
What do you mean? I have to walk up those stairs?
Yeah, you're showing them. You're a regular Danny Amendola.
So what were we talking about? Oh,
Paul is obsessed with this big boob woman on NFL Network.
No, I was.
And she's not really that attractive.
Well, NFL Network has totally just gone.
I think she's ugly as sin.
And she's also a little chunky.
I think she's ugly as sin, but I figured it'd be someone you like because she has big boobs. That's all I care about.
She's kind of got a belly roll right below her breast, and that doesn't. I don't find that attractive.
Where do you think the source came from on the Gronk report? If it is they're leaning toward not playing him, why would the team want that out there?
Oh, wait, I didn't say that.
No, I'm not saying, but where do you think it came from? I'm trying to eliminate
Gordy.
Somebody.
Well,
we've been on the Gordy bandwagon, that Gordy Howe. No, I mean,
no,
Gordy Gronkowski.
The father.
Oh, you think the father?
Yeah.
That's totally just like speculative.
And that's speculation.
Yeah, makes sense.
But there's a million different things, too. And don't discount, and I'm not necessarily pointing fingers at any specific members of the medical staff, but there's a lot of different people that are involved in medical. And a lot of those people are involved in medical of different teams. So there's different writers that might have relationships. You know, maybe the Bruins, for example, are a lot more open with some of this stuff, and some of their writers have more access to, and they're able to say, hey, you know, by the way, what's going on with Gronkowski? And maybe someone tells somebody something, and then that gets filtered to one of the Patriots writers. There's a million different ways that it could happen.
That's true. Yeah.
Because these guys all generally work out of Mass General, right?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
So there's a lot of different doctors involved, and I'm not accusing any of the specific doctors. Matter of fact, I happen to like the Patriots medical staff because they're part of that crew in football that actually likes us. So we like people who like us.
That's correct. Okay, so let's give a quick, based on all the crap we just spewed, Gronkowski and Amendola. Either, both, neither will play on Sunday against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
I'm going to say neither.
Amendola and Gronkowski? Neither.
Thanks for listening.
Neither.
I'm going to say Gronk plays.
Really?
I don't know.
I think that's the
totally
only
a gut. Like,
to me, that's the only chance is that Gronk might play. I think Amendola's out. But I think,
well, why is he on the field then?
I don't have the answer.
Why isn't he sitting in a like a hot tub?
My only guess, Andy, is that he is so preoccupied with dispelling this notion that he can't stay on the field that he's.
If that's the case, then he's going to end his season.
And not only that, the team
because
is,
he's going to do damage. And to me, at some point, the team has to say,
"I'm really
I don't care what
it.
Your little mental issues are with your injury history. You get off your feet."
Yeah,
I mean,
I'm really worried
rest.
About it. I agree with you, Andy. I think it's an issue. And
because if he almost has a sports hernia, and my understanding of the sports hernia is even close to being right, that it can be irritated by the lack of whatever, then sooner or later he's going to have one if he pushes it too
don't
much.
Don't you look at it in the back of your mind, like the sooner he gets back, the worse it is, the less chance that he's going to have to make it through the rest of the year?
Yeah, I don't know, but it
may... No, I know we don't
we
know.
We just don't know.
I know we don't. I know we don't know, and none of us is even close to being a doctor.
It seems to me that it wouldn't hurt to be out a week, right?
No, but I'm saying the faster he gets back, that means the less time he had to recover, and to me that makes him more susceptible
well, that's
to
what I mean.
Re-injuring.
You know, I don't think it's the worst thing in the world if he misses a game in terms of getting better, right?
Yeah, but I think he needs to miss more than a game.
Well, I
think he needs to miss a month.
I don't know. I have no idea.
I really have no idea.
I cannot make a judgment on that.
Again, and we're operating under the assumption, and it's a dangerous assumption, but we're operating under the assumption that what we're reading in these stories is at least close to accurate.
The other aspect of this
is, if he tore an adductor muscle off the bone the way that story said, I can't imagine that's just magically okay after a Thursday night game against the Jets. Now he's okay.
Higgins and Hopkinton says, I got a sports hernia in school, got hit in the nuts super hard playing sandlot football. And what happens is that occasionally the bulge will pop out
South Central?
In the gap between your pelvic area and leg, but then pops back in. When it pops out, it's agony, and you can't even move. It took a few weeks for me to be able to play again, but I bounced back faster than I thought. It really hurts. It makes sense if he was in agony on the sideline and it was a sports hernia. I mean, that whole report that he has a sports hernia, it could be just somebody, a doctor looking on TV goes, oh, he's got a sports hernia.
Oh, that's not. I mean, that's not what the story wrote. There was conflicting medical opinions.
Multiple doctors.
You don't make an opinion based off of something you watched on TV.
Well, I do.
Some of these guys.
No, I'm
not a professional.
I'm saying the doctor doesn't.
We get these emails from
that's not
Mount Sinai
that's
Hospital
not the
saying
same
we're willing to weigh in on anything you want.
No, you can weigh in, but you can't give a medical opinion.
Well, that's
on
weighing
that.
In.
No, it's
if
not.
If it's a doctor, it's a medical opinion.
Fred, the story said he was evaluated by multiple doctors and there was a difference of opinion. That's not the same thing as weighing in as a doctor from Wisconsin.
I didn't see the part about multiple doctors evaluating.
They did.
Yeah. You didn't see that part? That
we was just whole, argued about this in Paul's office 2 days ago.
Yeah. I read it to you guys.
I did ask my wife, my medical source, and she doesn't even know what it is. Because apparently it is like a sports injury. It's not like a common everyday life people that she treats injury. Mm. So it is sports. That's why it has the name, I guess.
Okay.
But
she did think he tore his pectaceous or something. She gave me she goes, is it his pectaceous or I could something in
I'm
that
really
range.
Concerned about the whole thing. Because I think that part of it that I'm worried about is him himself. Like he needs to be saved from himself. Himself, not his self. His self, not a word.
Oh, shit.
That's probably worse than what I said.
What are you doing? You're just throwing out
Hello?
Yeah, can we do this?
Well, he's got to go get the interview, I believe.
Okay.
This is going to ruin the show now because this was a spirited discussion.
Who is he getting?
I believe Tommy Kelly.
Tommy Kelly, and he's going to go interview Tommy Kelly for the Comcast.
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
And just swear in the mic. His phone rings, so he swears.
I'm actually early, but now I'm apparently late.
Let's see. Jeff writes in. He says, first off, I want Andy to know that I'm writing this email from the John Hancock Tower in Boston. Oh, Andy wasn't here to react to Hancock.
Oh, okay. See, I just don't get him. I had no idea why that was relevant.
Right. I'm emailing you guys today because I need to make a confession. I'm a little ashamed to have to admit this, but it has been on my mind the last few weeks. Your radio show is better than football. That is, your radio show is better than actually games played on last Thursday and the Sunday before that. That is, listening to four guys sitting around on their lunch break is more entertaining than watching 11 guys running around on a field. That is, listening to cookie crumbs fall onto a shirt is more entertaining than watching catchable balls falling to the turf. Listening to Fred make a claim that a player will be fine is Paul telling us that catching a ball is easy, Andy calling for more fullbacks, and Eric planting his flag on 7 and 9 is more entertaining than watching the game we love so much being played so poorly. When will this madness end? As a side note, whenever someone yells Dobson's name, I can't help but reminded of the classic scene from Jurassic Park. The scene is Dodgson is meeting Dennis at a restaurant in Costa Rica. Dennis says, waving, Dodgson, Dodgson sitting down, you shouldn't use my name. Dennis says, Dodgson, Dodgson, we've got Dodgson here. Nobody cares. Nice hat. Why are you trying to look like a secret agent? I don't remember that, but okay.
I don't either, but I'm not a huge Jurassic Park fan.
I think the first one was excellent.
No, it was a good movie, but I don't know the lines.
Right.
Is what I'm saying.
Webradio at patriots.com.
And thank you for that, because
what?
It's nice to know that we're more entertaining than the actual football game.
Well, you missed the first part, the way they're playing now.
Oh, yeah.
Is we're more entertaining.
Well, yeah. No, I didn't expect to be more entertaining than they were in 2007, Fred.
Robin in Alaska.
Although this is, you know, the first, we have a chance to be 3-0 for the first time since 2007.
Is that right?
Yes.
Wow.
Who says that I can't sprinkle some good cheer in?
Robin in Alaska says, guys, your Belichick discussion is so circular, it sounds like an Abbott and Costello skit.
I agree.
Let's see. Joel in Merrimack. Hello, men of PFW. Week 3 is upon us, and as for the people who are on the ledge, encourage them to jump. We don't need them. They are pessimistic sycophants who would be better off watching curling or shuffleboard. I just passed by a television and Stephen A., yes, he who believes that the loudest person is always the right person, has proclaimed the Patriots to be the worst 2-0 team in the NFL. What a jabroni. I knew there was a reason I usually ignore his hype. Now, as for Amendola, it is what it is. He has a history of not being able to stay healthy, so Belichick knew what he was getting. Question. Do you think he will try to run more on the Bucs? I can't see Brady passing 50-plus times again. At least I hope not. I would like his shoulder healthy for postseason. Keep up the great show. What do you think? Run on the Bucs?
He didn't pass 50-plus times against the Jets.
No. That was
just like 39.
Right.
Right? I think
right.
He was 19 for 39.
Yep. I mean, they didn't.
The difference
is, how many plays did they run?
They had to throw the ball a lot against the Bills for a couple of reasons. Number one, they ran a million plays. Because they had the ball much
right.
more often. And number two, they were losing
right.
in the fourth
quarter. Against the Jets, Ryan Allen broke a record for punts and punting yards, which tells you that they weren't getting first downs and extending drives. And
I don't think that they'll run the ball tremendously effectively against Tampa Bay. I'd be surprised if they did. But you need to be more, and this is one of the points I just made for my 3 points with Perillo. Freddie,
yeah.
That goes on Patriots Today. I think that airs on Fridays. Friday? Yeah, I think Friday.
Right.
They just need to be more efficient. It's not brain surgery here. You can't be this kind of an offense can't afford to be, around the 50% mark. There are offenses that can get away with that. You know, if you're Seattle and you're running the ball with Marshawn Lynch and your defense is playing great and you're hitting big plays once in a while,
right.
You can get, even Baltimore.
Yep.
Joe Flacco's never been a 65% guy. He's really not even a 60% guy. But they have, generally, when they're going well, they have a vertical passing game. So they're hitting Ray Rice underneath, and they're going deep to Torrey Smith. This offense really is built to be very efficient.
Right. It's not a West Coast offense, but it's kind
it's
of
It's got
like
a lot
that.
Of those elements.
Yeah,
it's
right.
But it's also down and distance related. They want to be, second and six, third and three, third and two. They don't want to be incomplete on first down, run for nothing on second and 10,
right.
And all of a sudden it's third and long. I mean, no one wants to be third and long.
Right.
But this offense, generally, the sequence of plays is important for this offense, I think.
Yeah.
I think they need to stay in manageable down and distance. They have done that for the most part because they've run the ball extremely well on second and 10, and they've had a lot of short yardage. Bill talked about this. Yeah. You know, he said that, you know, the problem hasn't necessarily been third and long. It's been converting on third down. At least it was against the Jets. The first game, they were outstanding on. I think they were 54% against Buffalo on third down, but they weren't against the Jets, and that's the difference in time of possession.
TG and NJ says, wow, Fred, I thought Tampa had all the controversy between the team and the coach, and now you're spinning the same thing with the Patriots. Players unhappy with the coach in regards to the injury information, or is the controversy between the coach and the media? What?
No, that first of all, that wasn't Fred. That was Andy, but he was talking about in the past.
Right.
And I can name you three specific guys, Benjamin Watson, David Givens, and Tyrone Poole, all on the record were upset with the way that they were dealt injuries. I could give you a bunch more off the record, but not on the air.
Yeah, that's not now. And I thought Fred was a homer. Why is he rocking the boat? I love Grumpy's pressers. He cracks me up with his disdain for the questions, but sometimes I think the team needs a press secretary. Somewhat like what the president has, someone who toes the company line but is more pleasant with the media. Belichick gets up there and just makes enemies. It's pretty obvious Belichick hates this part of his job. Couldn't we get someone else to do it? Why would the league be against it? Other teams could get a press secretary as well. They could be like the NFL Network and get some big-chested hotties do the pressers. Think of the ratings. Hey, you know. Would you want to be
big-chested
hotties? Would you want to be the press secretary and get up there and do press conferences?
God, no.
Be kind of fun, don't you think?
No.
No.
I don't think it would be fun. I don't envy Bill. He's clearly a guy who likes to play everything close to the vest, right? He doesn't want to divulge anything.
Yep.
I don't think that would be a lot of fun to have to go up and take questions that you don't want to answer. That doesn't sound fun to me. Does it sound like something you'd like to do? Would you like to go up there and
if
do
I was
that?
Really good at, handling...
Like, I would be snide and snarky, and,
well,
that, doesn't,
yeah,
and
yeah.
That doesn't play well.
Artie writes in at webradio@patriots.com. Glad to have the season underway and you guys back to 3 days a week. I confess I have probably been more in the vocal minority, too close to jumping off the ledge, so I thank you for helping me settle down a bit. However, the primary concern that I am hung up is many analysts, including yourselves, have said ad nauseum that in the NFL on a year-to-year basis, not month-to-month or week-to-week, if you're not getting better, you're getting worse. I just don't see that Patriots did very much to improve themselves in the offseason. Bring in Tommy Kelly? Okay, I'll give him that. Swap Welker for Amendola? That doesn't seem to be working out too well so far, but I remain hopeful. But with him, you're getting exactly what was advertised, a talented but injury-prone receiver. We made a play for Sanders, which failed, and have lost Hernandez permanently. The latter occurred well after the draft of free agency, so it remains a glaring hole that needs to be filled, perhaps by a trade. Fred, feel free to slap me down if you think I'm nuts. I just look at the other top teams in the league, and I'm pessimistic about the Patriots' chances this year. Yes, I'm very confident they'll improve, but if teams like Denver are already playing at a level they are, and with their schedule all downhill from here, the Patriots have a lot of improving to do, maybe more than is possible, at least this year. Thanks in advance for the reality check, and keep up the good work. So, I mean, if you look at it right now, there's no doubt that you'd have to say Denver is a better team than the New England Patriots. But the best team doesn't always win. I mean, you know.
No, but see, this is where I think that you miss a little bit of why people are. I think you misunderstand people when they say, you know, like they're on the ledge and all this. I don't necessarily think that people think the Patriots stink now. I think they're more like this emailer who's talking about they don't appear to be as good as they were last year. You're either getting better or you're getting worse. And I think if you look at the talent and you look at what might happen, how they could improve, I think people are wondering how you're going to get better. And right now, I don't think that they look at they see ways that this team can be a Super Bowl contender. I think that most Patriots fans, even the negative ones, still think they're going to win the AFC East, still think they're going to have a playoff season. They just don't look at it right now and see ways that they can get out of the playoffs and get to the Super Bowl. Does that sound right to you?
No, it's. I mean, but you're also comparing this team to last year, and sometimes you just can't do that.
But they're also comparing it to other teams.
I know.
And someone made a snide comment about Stephen A. Smith calling them the worst 2-0 team in football. Through 2 weeks, you'd be hard-pressed to argue with that.
I didn't comment on that because I think it might be true.
So you just ignored it.
Yeah, I mean.
Now, it doesn't mean they're always going to be
right.
The worst 2-0 team in football.
I do think Gronk coming back. I do think the defense is getting better. I do think, you know, if they can keep their head above water when Vereen comes back, you know, when Amendola comes back, if, you know. You know, I do think there's reason to be hopeful here.
See, I look at all of those things, and I don't see a team as good as last year. I look at all of those things being – I'll give you the check mark for all of those things. They all come back healthy, and they're productive. I don't think you're as
good. The only team, though, in the AFC I think that markedly improved itself this year is Denver.
Yeah, but you're making the assumption that the other teams aren't better than the Patriots.
I think they're all –
They might be, and they might not be. We don't know. It's 2 weeks.
No.
But you're assuming that Denver's the only one that's. I mean, Denver was better than the Patriots last year. They finished with a better record than the Patriots.
They did finish.
And they have a similarly cupcake schedule as the Patriots.
Yeah,
so you don't even have that advantage.
I think Denver is better right now. There's no doubt about it. And I think by the end of the year, on paper, they're going to be better than the Patriots. I think that's undeniable.
Listen,
but,
and everybody's dealing with injuries. We talked at the top of the show. They lost Ryan Clady today for the season. Now, it's an offensive lineman. I think you can get by. But here's a left tackle and a team that passes a lot with a quarterback who's not very mobile.
But, you know, I just don't understand the attitude. Well, you know, they look better, so season's gone. You know, we're going to lose.
Yeah, see, I don't – only thing I disagree with you. I don't see a lot of people saying the season's over and they're going to lose.
A lot of times where the Patriots were the better team and the Patriots lost, and that, you know, I don't know if those fans gave up because, the Patriots are better than us, so the season's gone. Otherwise, you know, for the last 12 years, it'd be just Patriots fans and nobody else.
You think the Patriots were better than everybody else for the last 12 years?
In the AFC, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
For the most part, yeah.
Okay.
I do. You know?
You thought they were better than everybody. So in other words, every game that they've lost in the last 12 years, you think was an upset?
Pretty much.
Okay.
Pretty much.
Wow, that's an indictment of Belichick.
I mean,
they've lost too many games for them to be favored.
You look at the last 12 years, and if you had to pick the best team in the AFC over the last 12 years, who would it be?
Oh, no, the best team in the NFL over the last 12 years is the Patriots.
Well, I'm just saying AFC, you know.
The Patriots, yeah. No question.
Right.
The most consistent, but that doesn't mean that every game they lost, they were, you know, they might have been favored to win the game in Vegas, but you can't tell me, like, in 2009, the Patriots had more talent than Baltimore. When Baltimore kicked the crap out of us here in a wild card game, based on the physical state that our team was in that game, based on in Baltimore, you can't tell me that the Patriots were better.
You know, but I just think that you don't give up on your team when they're the Patriots.
I don't see that. Really. I see very very little.
I see too much of it.
I see very little. Well, you could argue that I shouldn't see any of it, and I think that you'd be right, Fred. You shouldn't see any of it. But I just don't think there is many people completely throwing the towel in as you think there are.
Nathan says, a few topics, if any, are of interest. I'd be interested in hearing your thoughts of them. Running game is not good. We've only ran on teams playing nickel dime or teams that can't defend the run. McDaniels has too much input in our personnel rather than exclusively calling offensive plays. Our scouting department can't access wide receivers or pass rushers. I hope Freeman can burp the baby long enough for us to get a couple of sacks. Blunt kickoff returns look like they are run in slow motion. Where's Washington? And I miss Danny Woodhead. Do you? Although little, he's reliable and one that Brady can work with.
Yeah, listen, it's hard to sit there and say there's not similarities between the Amendola and Welker situation as there is between Vereen and Woodhead. Woodhead may not be as good as Vereen, but Woodhead was always on the field. But I have no problem. I think Vereen is light years better than Woodhead. I don't even think it's close.
Right. I think if we had Vereen, we wouldn't be missing Woodhead right now.
Well, obviously.
Yeah.
But the point is, you don't have Vereen. You got hurt.
I know.
That's what the critics would say.
Reliable.
Yeah.
Right. Hey, are we on the air right now, Kevin? We are. Okay.
He's Jeff's, giving the thumbs up.
Jeff said that the feed disappeared. So I
okay, maybe that was when Fred and I were in one of our ridiculous rants.
Matt in San Diego State University. Hey, guys, quick question for you. Everyone knows Revis is one of the best corners in the league. However, with our uniquely inept group of receivers, I'm wondering if you guys expect him, who you expect him to cover. I heard he was upset that Tampa isn't playing more man coverage. I believe in the past, Revis followed Welker around the field, and I'm pretty sure we are screwed if he covers Edelman in the slot. What do you think their game plan
is? He has not covered Welker all around the field very often.
No.
I don't have any idea what their game plan will be. I don't know if there's anybody worthy of matching him up against. I wouldn't. If I was Shiano, I would play him on the outside. I would leave him on one side, and I'd be content to whoever lines up opposite him, he has him by himself, and I would double inside on Edelman.
Yeah,
and
I
take
mean,
my shot.
If I was Shiano, I'd play man to man all the way through and give Brady a ton of pressure,
and I'd also blitz like crazy.
Right, exactly.
Blitz like, because I know right. Most people say you can't do that. You got to get the pressure with
right.
the four,
right?
Because Brady will rip it apart. These guys haven't proven they can be hot receivers
right.
for Brady yet.
Now, if Gronk is in the game, that might change a little bit, but still.
Well, then I double Gronk
yeah.
instead of Edelman.
Yeah, so that changes a little bit. Let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline. Dan's in Virginia. Hey, Dan.
Hey, fellas. How you doing today?
Good.
What's up, Dan?
I was going to ask some questions, but just given the discussion, I wanted to chime in on the general state of the Patriots and their potential for how far they go in this in the league this year. I know that things don't look great for the Pats, but you look around the league and
good point.
There aren't any great threats. I mean, in the AFC South, the AFC North, and the AFC West are all looking more competitive. I mean, granted, it's only been 2 weeks, but you know, Kansas City, San Diego, Cincinnati, Tennessee are all sort of you know maybe not competitive, but are at least sort of pushing the incumbent powers. The Ravens aren't obviously the world-beating team they were last year. The Steelers aren't great. So the only real threat is the Broncos. But even then, Belichick knows how to play Peyton well. John Fox and Jack Del Rio aren't outstanding coaches. So, and, you know, in terms of the NFC, we're playing the NFC South. Atlanta isn't looking as tough as they were advertised. New Orleans is winning, but Breeze hasn't been faultless. And Carolina and Tampa are, Carolina and Tampa. So, yes, it isn't great, but you know, relatively speaking, it's not necessarily as bad as it looks.
Yeah, I think that's a little bit of a rationalization. I agree with your overall premise, though, Dan. I think that the league itself, and Fred and I have talked about this, Andy, we talked about it a little bit yesterday. I don't see dominant teams. Now, I think that you're sort of brushing over the fact that the Patriots have played two terrible teams and played the worst out of those teams that, quote-unquote, hasn't looked really good so far. Atlanta lost on the last play of the game at New Orleans, and then they blew out the Rams, at home. So I don't necessarily think that's the same as beating Buffalo and the Jets on the last play of the game.
And that's fair enough, Paul. I guess I'm more just sort of trying to balance out the general dire evaluation.
Yeah, no, and I said, Dan, I agree with your overall premise. Seattle right now is the rage. Well, they played really well once. They didn't play that great in the first game. So I don't think there's been a ton of consistency with anybody yet. Denver, absolutely. They look like they're playing really well offensively. They're going to lose guys just like everybody else, and they're already starting to. I'm not just willing to concede everything to everybody. I think there are teams that have more talent than the Patriots. I said that going back to, say, July. I think there are teams that are better than the Patriots. But like Fred says, will they beat the Patriots when it comes time? I don't look at all of the games that are quote-unquote tough games, toss-up games on the Patriots' schedule. I don't see any way they lose them all. Mm-hmm. They'll win a few of them. Someone asked me today, after six games, are you expecting the Patriots to be 3-3? And I said, no, I expect them to be 4-2 at worst, and especially the only way they would be 3-3 to me is if they lost to Tampa Bay, mm-hmm. which I'm not dismissing. I think Tampa Bay would be a tough game, but I don't see Cincinnati, Atlanta, or Atlanta, Cincinnati, and New Orleans. I don't think there's any way, Dan, they lose all three. They might lose two of them, but someone's got to prove it to me first.
Yeah, and I'll just say one more thing before getting on to my question. There have always you know, even during the Super Bowl years, there were always teams that were more talented than the Patriots. It was just a matter of
Bill
and the coaching staff figuring out how to beat those teams and then preparing their players to fulfill that game plan.
I agree with you, Dan.
But
Fred doesn't.
No, I think defensively, I think the Patriots were as talented as a lot of teams, and they just had the right mix
and
of
like
players.
And like 2007, 2008, you thought defensively?
No, I'm talking 2003, 2004.
Well, yeah, you said the last 12 years they've been better than everybody else.
They have over the course of 12 years.
That's not what you said. You just changed
it. 2007,
as usual.
2007, they were better than everyone else for a different reason than they were better than everyone else in 2003.
Gronkowski, by the way.
Thanks, Dan.
Thanks, Dan. Gronkowski talked today in the locker room, talking as we speak, perhaps. Our own Eric Scalavino says that Gronkowski, quote, progressed significantly since last week. Added that he's day-to-day, won't say if he'll play against the Bucs, obviously. So far, there's really nothing new to report. I'm day-to-day, is another quote from Gronk. But just the fact that, you know, he's talking, I think, is newsworthy. He hasn't really talked much. Brady had his press conference as well and said that the burden is on all of us, not just the receivers. It's on the quarterback, most importantly. Now, you know, obviously talking about the passing game efficiency, talking about he joked about Golden getting overturned. They didn't consult him on that.
Right.
Says that Revis is looks like the same guy. Nothing negative about his skill set. Called him the best he's ever played against.
He's right about that. He is. Let's go to Tyrone in Delaware. Hey, Tyrone.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
Yeah, real quick. I called in yesterday, and I just want to miss. Did you guys misunderstood me? I think Paul. I don't know if you remember, but when the traffic came, I said you said 12-4. I said 12-4 too. I know the team gonna get better. That's not the issue. The issue is that, you know, me myself. I know. They're going to get better. But my thing is, Belichick, man, he's just a problem because the reason why some fans like myself get upset is because we know the window is closing. You cannot see with a straight face that they got teams out there that is better. And the game changed. And, you know, Belichick just make a lot of crucial mistakes. Instead of we getting better, we getting worse. And I look at things objectively. There's no way, yes, we're going to probably be in the playoffs. Of course, we're going to win the AFC. But, you know, once you got the best, I think he's the best quarterback in the league, my opinion, for the last couple of years. But you got to get what you could get now because you don't know what the future is going to hold. Just like what the Miami Heat is doing. They make sure LeBron James is happy. They put enough talent around them, so they're going to win as much rings as they can and then call it a day. And the thing is, with all these moves, you guys hoping that Gronk going to be healthy, I am not objectively, yes, I would love, but common sense, my brain is telling me he's going to be rusty, and to me, they're bringing him back too soon. I think if it was to me, I would leave him out for the whole year.
For the whole year?
Let him come back next year.
If he's healthy, you would leave him out the whole year?
No. Well, if he's healthy, 100%, but we don't know that. I mean, honestly, we don't know that.
We don't know he's not.
Danny Amendola thing, right? My thing is with...
Yeah, Tyrone, I don't think that you need to sit out Gronkowski the whole year. Will he be rusty when he comes back? Yeah, I think that's a reasonable assumption that he will not be in all-pro form right away.
He won't be Gronk.
But we've also seen him, by the way, I especially make fun of the state that he played his first game in last year against Miami when he came back. Didn't he catch a touchdown in that game? I mean, that's how good he is.
Right.
He can be
in
rusty
the play,
and
he
still
broke
be
it
good.
Again on was a great catch. Like, he's so much better than everyone else that you want the rusty guy because that's better. You know, that's going to pay off. And by the way, I don't know if you guys are aware, he is talking in the locker room.
I read some of the quotes. Yeah.
Tremendous. You know, do you feel like you're ready to play? Long pause. He's funny smirk. Just like making faces. I feel like I'm ready to do what they ask me to do every day or something. Like, he was just, everything was like a smirk and he was on point, Gronk.
How was your Tommy Kelly interview?
Very good. A little rushed. He's expecting. His wife is having a baby as of due next week. And he said, jokingly, not in a serious way, but by far the toughest pregnancy. It's by far his biggest child. It's his third. He has two boys that were like 6, 8, and 7-something. This one they're expecting to be like 9 pounds or more. And his wife, I think, is really uncomfortable, really big, as he said. And
cranky.
Yeah. So he was going actually, like literally, we finished the interview. He ran out. He was going to visit her. I think they had a doctor's appointment or something. But he's a really good guy. He is not what he looks like because he's a big, kind of scary, imposing
looking guy.
Always got a dip in. Looks like he wants to get the beard. And he's just a really nice guy. And he did a really good interview. I actually had a much better interview after that with Rob Ninkovich, who was carrying the paper through.
Right.
He was like 20 feet away. I go, hey, you got a minute for the guys who do that team newspaper? And he walks over. He gives me a little phenomenal. Talking about pass rush and the growth of a pass rusher, because I'm kind of doing a Jones thing, but it's kind of now morphed more into both, just the growth of a pass rusher. The notebooks he keeps on tackles, offensive linemen, and he gave me just examples of what it is. And like he finished, he goes, I can tell you that, Matt Light's a two-step inside one punch kind of left tackle. So if I ever have to face him again, I know that immediately. Mm. And I was like,
it's like keeping the book on pitchers and hitters.
Exactly. Yeah. And he said he does it every week. He's got, the piano keys, if there's a tight end, they back up. And if they're off, they're on. And if they're too big to get in a 3-point stance, so they're always in a 2-point stance. Like he went through a list of 20 things he keeps, and I found it very interesting.
Oh, that's good stuff.
He even got the stamp of approval from Moose, our cameraman. Finished up, he goes, well, that was good. That was really good stuff you got out of him there. Like, just like.
Oh, are there other people around you?
No, Moose, Ninkovich, and Urivati from the PR department.
Why was Moose? Moose was just interested?
Well, he had just finished my interview. He was just hanging around listening. There was nobody in there. It started early. That's kind of why, and I apologize that I said the poo word on the air, but it started early, and even I was walking down the hallway. It hadn't opened yet, and Tommy Kelly was waiting for me in the hall. He wanted to get
They
it
better
done.
Not, though, use that interview on Comcast with Ninkovich.
No. He wasn't taping. No. Okay, he wasn't taping at all.
They better not. What are you going to do?
Well, what, you doing their job now?
It wasn't an exclusive interview.
Where's their interview? Where's their reporters?
But I mean, they weren't. Right. Taping it anyway, but just the indignation.
And then Moose goes, so, Rob, do you also keep a book on the reporters asking you these questions? He goes, oh, yeah, you should see in my locker. And I got them crossed out if I don't like them with big red X's. I go, ooh, you got a lipstick list, huh? And he goes, boy, am I glad I called that guy.
Did you find out why they were laughing at this newspaper yesterday?
I didn't ask him. I asked Jones, and he said it was nothing. Like, they were just kidding around. He said Ninkovich is always playing around.
See, I clearly think that he had it in his hand and then saw us.
Right.
And it was spur of the moment.
Right.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't think it was anything.
And I think
then I should have told him, you should have seen the first cover.
And I think did you say that to him?
No.
Oh, you should have. Chandler Jones, I would say, probably never saw the paper before based on his reaction.
Well, no, because he got those posters. Remember, he was all excited because we gave him, was it a cover or posters last year? Framed?
Something like that.
Yeah, he had some nice ones last year.
Orlando's in Springfield. Hey, Orlando. I thought it was
hey,
in Florida.
How's it going?
Good.
Nah, not even close.
You wish. Actually, you don't. It stinks.
Yeah. Hey, listen, guys, just two quick questions, man. First off, if the Patriots receivers are basically this bad, or let's say this is the best that we get out of them for the entire year, what do you see the Patriots doing in the offseason? Do you see them saying, hey, we're going to be, all right, we're going to let these guys go a bit, or do you see them making a move toward free agency to get
making
them?
A move.
If they don't improve, then, they'll be making
If it's
moves.
Literally this, yeah. I mean, if it's horrific, they can't just say, oh, they're young, they're going to get better. No, they'll bring in, they may keep them to develop at least a couple of them, the draft picks, whatever, but they'll bring in veterans, they'll trade, they'll do something, make a first-round pick, something.
Oh, yeah. There'll be a mad scramble.
Yeah, you can't go with the ineptitude we've seen for the first couple weeks here.
And that might be why, I know I'm, Mr. Sunshine, but that might be why, they're under the cap and it seems like they're saving this money, because if things don't work out, they want to be able to have the flexibility next year to just go full bore, because they see the window closing with Brady too.
I just think they always want to have the flexibility. That's what they do. Whether it's the draft with extra draft picks, whether it's the cap with extra money, they always want to have the flexibility to do stuff. And in some ways, that handcuffs them from doing anything, because they always want to have the flexibility to do something.
You never want to spend it. Yeah.
Fellas, the next question I had was concerning the actual throwback uniforms, man. I heard recently that the, I guess the NFL came down and some spine committee, whatever, basically said that the teams, when they wear the throwbacks, they shouldn't change the helmets. That the helmets should stay the same because they're fit.
Correct.
Right. Well, see, they painted themselves in a corner because they came out with a statement, I don't know, was it last year, that, you know, once you get that fitted helmet, you got to stick with it for the whole year, and that's the safe thing to do. So now, you know, you get into the throwback, and it's a second helmet.
Right.
Well, that goes against what they advised the teams to do.
But hold on, but aren't those other helmets fitted as well? I mean, it's not
it makes no sense to me at all, Orlando.
But they're not broken in.
Right.
They're fitted, but they're not broken in, and that's what they're saying. Is there once you get it, because, you know, you pump it up to the first day you get it, and then you bang in camp for a while, the pads squish a little so they're not quite as big, you need to add a little air. They're saying basically once you get it broken in, stick with that one. That's broken in, it's formed to your head. That's all they're saying.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I'm not sure there's
much
in it.
Makes no sense to me.
Yeah,
and I also thought it was funny that so many teams wore the different helmets in week two.
Right.
You know?
The Bills did.
I saw the Bills did. I think the...
Wait, I thought they weren't allowed to.
Chargers did. No, maybe not the Chargers. The Bills definitely did. But there were a couple other teams that did, too. The Bears. Well, I think the Bears did.
The bigger issue for us is we need our damn red jersey as our third alternate. That'll go with the regular season helmet, and then...
I like that.
Let's get that.
I like the old Fat Patriot, man. Come on.
That's one of the more polarizing topics here.
He's the Tim Tebow of mascots.
Beautiful looking helmet.
It's nostalgic, but when that was the prime, when that was the logo, people didn't like it. It's only now that they don't have it that I like it.
That's not entirely true.
Really?
No. Come on. Guys, when you look at that uniform, that red, the white, the white pants, the red jersey with the stripes on the side, and that beautifully exquisite helmet. Come on, man.
Beautifully exquisite. It's a guy taking a dump.
That's the way I always looked at it. In the late 70s, they actually had a, and this is a fact, they had a contest. They wanted the fans to pick. They were thinking about changing the logo. And there was a home game against San Diego, and I want to say 77, 78, 79, somewhere in that area. And they actually had, you know, it was one of those audience, you know, crowd things based on the reaction. And it was so overwhelming to keep Pat Patriot that people started chanting, like, we want the old one. We want the old. It was like 100%.
Did they have new options?
Yeah, they had. Oh. Yeah, they had two.
I'd like to see those.
Yeah, I'd like to see it, too, because I don't have any idea.
Can you Google it?
I don't have any recollection as to what it looked like. But I do remember it was a home game against San Diego.
I remember that.
That
too.
Should be in the museum. Do we have that in the museum?
No, but that's a good story.
You can't even get it to be cold.
All right, Orlando, thanks for the call.
What? Just I'm saying, real quick, look at the detail. You don't see detail like that in modern logos anymore with sports.
That's true.
No, you're right about that because they want it to be replicable on hats easily and
I'm
stuff
not a
like
big
that.
Fan of the Flying Elvis. That I agree with, but I was never really big on the Pat Patriot either. I didn't really like either one.
You don't like anything.
All right, take care, fellas.
Okay, thanks, Orlando. All right.
What helmet do you like?
A little bit of pizza here. We're going to take a quick break. Come back. A lot more emails and calls. Jamie from Houston. Joe in Pennsylvania. We'll get to you right after this.
You know that celebration dance? The I just got a heck of a deal on awesome entertainment, so let's dance? You probably haven't done it in a while, so here's a reason to. Now until September 3rd, when you sign up for 100% fiber optic Verizon Fios, you can take your entertainment to the next level with America's fastest, most reliable internet. Switch to a Fios Triple Play online for just $79.99 a month for 12 months and get your choice of a $300 Amazon.com gift card or a $300 Visa prepaid card with a 2-year agreement. Plus, get a high-speed wireless router at no additional charge. You won't get that with cable. And that's an entertainment deal worth dancing about. So hurry. This great summer deal ends September 3rd. Visit gottogetfios.com and upgrade today. Technology that makes life more entertaining. That's powerful. Price is $89.99 a month for months 13 to 24. Rate may increase after 2 years. Verizon Visa prepaid card issued by MetaBank, member FDIC. Amazon.com is not a sponsor of this promotion. Restrictions apply. Fios available in select areas. Offer for new customers subscribing to a triple play bundle online with a 2-year agreement and ends 9/3/13. Taxes, fees, RSN fee, and other terms apply. Visit Verizon.com/Amazon for details.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center,
located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop. Dine. Enjoy.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
With power comes responsibility, and NRG has taken that responsibility to new heights by evolving the way sustainable energy is discussed and used in the 21st century. With 3,000 state-of-the-art solar panels installed at Patriot Place, we've transformed the open-air retail complex next to Gillette Stadium into a visually stunning, self-sustaining destination that generates 60% of its own power. NRG is proud to be the official energy provider for Patriot Place, Gillette Stadium, and the New England Revolution.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Miami. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether the sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest price on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS. Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder wait list and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
The word off-season doesn't exist in the NFL. Maybe for hot dog vendors and groundskeepers, but not for teams or players or fans. When the goal every year is winning it all, the road begins to be paved in February. Because there are holes that need to be filled, weights that need to be lifted, and next levels that need to be reached. Keep up with your favorite team with coverage of NFL Network 24/7 on NFL Mobile. Always having your passions with you? That's powerful. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile from Verizon. Airtime and messaging rates may apply. Coverage not available everywhere. Available on select smartphones. Don't call or text while driving.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected. And now, great moments in PFW in progress history.
We are boring to tears, young Benjamin. He was just asleep on his mom's shoulder.
He's probably hungry.
Ben, are you hungry?
Oh,
you hung? Hungry. Hungry. Oh, God. Don't.
Yeah, he's not. Yeah.
You should know hungry? I got a little wiener.
Thanks, the Heffernans for...
Heffernans.
Heffernans. I was going to say Heffernrepper, but that's... All right, we'll see you on... See you next Tuesday.
That's another great moment from PFW in Progress.
All right, back here in PFW in Progress. Andy's back from the locker room.
Fred's pizza's back from his stomach.
Oh, my God. Papa Gino's Pizza.
And they are a sponsor, Fred.
It tastes...
really good.
Just as good on the way up as it did on the way down. most interesting Patriots fan in the world writes in, we're fine, Fred, or at least I am. Put me in the we've got some issues, but we're still a good team camp. There's enough to talk about without giving these doomsayers credence. Sure, 98.5 has to drum up issues to talk about, but you guys never need to. Keep in mind, most of us who listen to the show like to hear about the Cadillac crime fighter more than who's been signed to the practice squad. Always remember the quiet majority, Fred. We are here, and we are rational. Well, it's good to hear that. You know, it's I like that. It makes me feel a little bit better.
You want to talk some football?
Sure.
No, I just wanted to bring up what we just talked about off air a little bit. We were talking about Tommy Kelly, who wanted to do the interview with me quickly because he was going to visit his wife, who was expecting a child. And you brought up the idea, you know, what if he happens to miss the game? She is going to have a C-section. It's a very large baby, not surprisingly, because he's a very large man. But that got me talking about Doug Martin. They run the ball a lot. He's got 53 carries. You know, it's a big part of their offense. But they're a three-receiver offense. So we've seen a lot of nickel early in the year, no Brandon Spikes. Do you want to do that against their three receivers, or do you want to have Spikes on the field, especially if you were without Tommy Kelly? Say it's Joe Villano and Vince Wilfork up front.
Right.
Would you want Spikes on the field to deal with, you know, the running game? Because Kelly talked a lot about, you know, Martin's going to come right at you. He's a downhill runner. He's not looking to get outside. How do you balance that out, the nickel versus the run stuffing? Where do you want to be there? Paul said off the air, I would stay with Spikes because they're a three-receiver team with only two receivers. But
I don't think much of Kevin Ogletree.
I think you take your chances and try to pressure Freeman and hope he's inaccurate.
Because, so you'd go nickel?
Yeah. I think that Vincent Jackson can hurt you. And
yeah, so can Doug Martin.
Yeah.
If you don't stop him.
But that's why I think that but I think you got to pressure.
And Doug Martin's interesting because he's not a big play back, but he's had a lot of big plays in his short career here. You know, he's kind of a workhorse, you know, the muscle hamster.
Right. What
apparently he told me he had a hamster.
It's the it's the hamster dance.
But he can hurt you. I mean, if you give him space, and, you know, tackling has been an issue off and on for these safeties, so if you give him sort of an easy route to the next level,
yeah,
big plays could hurt you there as much as big plays from Vincent Jackson. But my biggest concern in this game would be Vincent Jackson beating me over the top. Because,
yeah,
as I said, even in Buffalo, they beat you over the top a couple times. It just happened to be for 18-yard touchdowns instead of, you know, 45-yard plays.
And I think you got to count on Freeman's inaccuracy in that regard, which means you got to pressure him.
He's one of the only two quarterbacks with worse completion percentage than Brady at this point.
Jamie's in Houston, Texas. Hey, Jamie.
What's going on, fellas?
Hey, Jamie.
He's talking some Patriots football.
Weekly. Daily.
Yeah, at least three days out of the week. Daily.
That's right.
There.
We pound it in the middle of the week. We're so intense Tuesday to Thursday that we need to give you guys a little break on Monday and Friday.
Yes, and thank you for that. And I'll have to get Chicago on you. How are them pies? I'm asking, but I already know because I heard the sounds of them pies. But have you heard that or seen the commercial with the Chicago guys? I think George Wentz in it with Aaron Rodgers in the middle. So,
yeah.
We know who you are, tough guy.
Yeah. Double check. The double check. Discount double check.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought it was pretty good. So, with the Coach Weekly, I thought it was kind of out of the blue that they brought that up, but good football commercials. We got expatriates in some commercials. We got current Patriots in commercials. So
yeah, did you see the one that they're going to do with one of the wipes makers has signed like four NFL centers to be the spokesman for butt wipes, clean butt wipes. That's a funny.
Could have done without that one. Hey, you butt wipe.
You got to have a clean butt if you're an NFL center.
Well, Tommy will appreciate it, won't he?
That's right. Ryan Wendell has to wipe three times before every single snap.
All right.
And that's news you don't get anywhere else but on PFW.
That's right.
So, yeah, I hear a lot of talk. I haven't called in a while, but I listen faithfully. And, you know, I mean, there is some cause for concern. But, you know, my window is open, but I'm not on the ledge. And I think that's where a lot of the Patriots folks are, you know, to kind of, you know, there's still wins and we'll take them. It takes a lot of work to win in this league, even against bad teams. And so, you know, the future's not written. We just got to get the guys back healthy and keep them healthy. And so I've got two questions. One with Gronkowski, I've heard some of the, you know, some of the discussions earlier that he's still kind of day-to-day, you know, game-time decision. But, I mean, what's your consensus? Have you guys talked about, you know, your thoughts? I mean, you know, would you rather see him get one more week, get ready for next week? Or if, you know, theoretically, if he was ready to go, if he wasn't going to get any healthier, get any better,
if he's ready,
would you bring him back?
I would
bring
him back.
If he's ready, bring him back.
Absolutely.
If he's ready, go.
What is ready?
But that's the key. If he's ready.
But what is ready? Because there's medical ready. Okay, he's completely 100%. Doctors say he's yours. But how much has he hit? How much has he banged around? How much has
You got to start that sometime. So if he's 100% medically healthy, put him out there, maybe limited snaps just to see how he does, but get him out there.
I'm just worried about his size and his strength. Everybody's talked about how he's, you know, looked leaner, which would make sense with the off season and all the injuries. Probably hasn't had a chance to lift. Has he looked that much visibly smaller?
Yeah, he needs to put on 7 more pounds. What's so funny?
All right, Andy, what's the truth then? How much does he really need to put on?
I don't know the specific number. He looks a little bit smaller. He's definitely a little bit smaller, but as you said, that's fully expected. And that may be a process that takes a while because he can't totally dedicate himself to that right now. He's dedicating himself to getting back on the football field, not to, you know, loading up on calories, heavy workouts in the morning. So this may be a little bit of a year where that's not ideal. Right. But still, he's close enough. He's not like 80 pounds underweight. He's not anorexic or anything like that. He's just a little smaller.
Yeah, that's good to know.
And I think they need him, you know. We talk about how great he is as a blocker, and that's why he is so perfect. They need him in the passing game more than anything right now. They need an option that they can count on. Brady needs an option that he can throw to and not worry that it's either going to be an interception or an ugly incompletion. So, yeah, would I want him back as a blocker, the total package? Sure, that's ideal. But right now, I need a receiver.
Back at the weapon.
I need a guy I can throw the ball to and he'll catch
it. And plus, you know, again, assuming he's 100% healthy, the quicker we start that process of getting him football ready, the better.
Unless he has a setback.
I agree with all that. Okay, my last question to bring up with, you know, it's, you know, what Patriots Nation is concerned about is the level of play and consistency. But I mean, if we look into the rearview mirror, not too far back, I mean, in our dynastic period over the last 10, 12 years, I mean, I think there's really been maybe a handful of those years we've truly been dominant, and we've always been very good, you know, in this run. But I mean, hasn't there, you know, been a lot of years where, you know, we get in this problematic phase of playing down to opponents? You know, we play down to the bad teams and play up to the level we need to just win against the good ones. Haven't we had a lot of seasons like that?
And we've had a few.
There have been seasons like that, but I think you're being optimistic by saying they're playing down to the opponent.
But also,
I think they're playing to their skill level right now.
I think there's a difference between they've lost to a team that they have no business losing to every year, Arizona being the one from last year, Buffalo the year before. I don't think they consistently play down to their opponents. Generally, they beat them by 30 points.
Yeah, usually they do. But, you know, to be a dominant team every year is impossible. There's no team that's ever done it.
Yeah, I agree.
It's just every year is different.
And there's also the difference between a dominant team and a team that just happened to go out and win 12 games.
Right.
Right? I mean, you can look back on a record and it'll say one thing, but if you actually watched all 16 games, they weren't dominant. They were good. Right. They were good for whatever they had to beat that
that's
year.
That's why I think 07 was
special. 03, 04, and 07, we were dominant. I mean,
yeah, I don't think they were dominant in 03. I agree with Andy. I think in 04 they were, and certainly 07 they were. 03, they could have lost half the games that they won.
They were working towards what they'd become.
Okay. Yeah, no, I got you. All right. But,
thanks, guys. Okay, thanks.
Thanks, Jamie.
You know, it's always interesting to kind of imagine what they would have been in 08. You know, coming back hungry, having that disappointment. Easier schedule, no doubt. What would they have been if Brady had played that
really,
season?
Really good?
I think at minimum they would have won 14 games.
Yeah, because they were 11-5 without him. So
I find it hard to believe they would have lost more than a game or two.
Yeah.
Real quick, some quasi news. Aqib Talib, who mispracticed on Monday, was for a family emergency.
Okay.
Says he came out of the game last Thursday, healthy for the most part, mispracticed for a family emergency. Was asked specifically if he thought that the Mangold hit was dirty. And he said, he started to dive when I was inbounds. I didn't see it as dirty.
Okay. That's how I felt.
Well, I mean, that's
he's being nice.
That's what the tape said.
I don't know why you have to dive at a guy that's going out of bounds.
I don't know why you don't hit a guy who has the ball low, or why that's considered dirty.
Well, he's going out of bounds.
And another wait.
He just said he was inbounds.
You don't
when
dive
he
at his legs.
But wait,
why?
There is a difference between a guy who's running full speed at an angle and running out of bounds. I agree with you. Sometimes you can assume that guy's going out of bounds. Now we've seen Patriots get burnt by that in the past, but. There's a difference between that, and he was sort of dancing and hopping, and he wasn't clearly running out of bounds.
He was,
and
he was at a standstill.
Brandon Merriweather did it as a Patriot. You guys would be all over him.
Low?
Yeah.
As opposed to high?
Yeah,
no. Low. Brandon Merriweather would have launched himself and tried to hit him in the head.
Right.
And I would have been all over him for it. Just like Bernard Pollard is up in arms for a ridiculously cheap hit that he got, fined $42,000, and he's tweeting out about two-hand touch. He jumped over one of his teammates to plaster a guy on the sideline in the head with his shoulder. Like, it's okay if you hit him in the head with the shoulder. He clearly targeted the head. I mean, that's you can be up in arms about it, but there's a difference between hitting a guy in the head and hitting a guy in the leg.
Unnecessary.
I don't know where you're
Mangold.
Because the guy was out of bounds. I agree. Nothing dirty about it, just out of bounds.
Jeff in Pennsylvania. Hey, Jeff. Thanks for holding on.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. I hope this connection gets a little better.
Are you on speakerphone?
No.
Are you lying?
No. Here, hold on a second.
I'll bet you.
So you were.
I'll bet you it changes in a second.
Is this any better?
Yes. So you lied
so
to me.
You take your,
hang
you,
up on him for lying.
When you take the phone off speaker, it gets better.
I was in a barometric chamber.
Oh, okay.
I had to get off.
What? You were in a what?
Barometric chamber.
I was in the hallway at work. I'm trying to hide from my boss.
Oh. Is your boss a woman or a man?
Well, you should probably stay off speaker if you're trying to hide it from your boss.
Right.
Yeah, he's not a football fan.
Oh, loser.
Anyway, I called. I love your show. I was just calling because I'm really kind of bent out of shape over all the, like, negativity and stuff. I think everybody's, like, kind of flipping out. And it feels like everybody's turning into Steelers fans. Like, it's like this, collective, like, jumping off the bridge thing. And, I mean, really, like, I just looking back, I feel like it's great that Brady's back is up against the wall, you know, and that he's going to have to fight his way, like, out of the season. I mean, maybe I've watched too many of those documentaries and stuff lately, and maybe I'm, you know, it's overblown or whatever. But, you know, like, just looking at the earlier years, like when they didn't have as much, certainly not as much offensive talent, just having to win close games is like really important. And now we, you know, the past few years, I've just felt like we get into the playoffs and I'm dreading the playoff games because I know the teams that they're going to play have had to like fight tooth and nail to get to where they're at. And New England, it seems like we get into these games and it feels like we should just walk right through.
I hear what you're saying, Jeff, but I don't think barely beating the Bills in the Jets is going to help them come playoff time. I don't, you know.
Well, my hope is, and I'm probably the optimistic one in the bunch, is that this is like just the beginning. It's the first couple games of the year and it's going to be like ridiculously tough and it's in going to be really easy to get down on the whole situation, but I just feel like by the 6th, 7th, 8th week, when a lot of this stuff's ironed out and some of these guys are back, like the notion of not being in it, like, or not having an easy win every week is going to be a good thing. So that by the time, because like if you look at the past few years, when you look at Baltimore and Pittsburgh, they're always contenders because by the time they get to the playoffs, no matter how good their team is, we've beaten the hell out of each other. And so
it also might be that they have good defenses.
Well, no, absolutely. I mean, talent's definitely a factor in it. But, they're just uglier. Like, by the time they get into the playoffs, they're mean. And, like, they just – they don't care who they play. They're going to kill everybody.
Yeah.
And there's times where I watch New England play, and it's like they're not even – they're not mean. Like, I don't
– Yeah, they definitely had that swagger in Pittsburgh and Baltimore. It just those two teams have swagger that might be a result of, you know, being in that division. It's possible. It is.
Well, I mean, like Denver last year is a perfect example. They're in a division with Kansas City, San Diego, and Oakland, and everybody was talking about how great they were and all this other stuff. They get in the playoffs and they can't win because they've beaten up on music. They put 30 points up on a team that stinks.
Yeah. You know, and that's what, like, they did in the playoffs. It just wasn't enough.
Yeah, and that's the thing is when once you get into the playoffs, like, you start playing these teams from other divisions that have had to fight tooth and nail to win. And I really feel like Brady and everybody, like all the fans and everything, have been spoiled with this ridiculous offensive talent. And so, like, the past couple of Super Bowls, the playoffs, like, we'll walk into a game and it's just like everybody assumes that we're going to win because we've got all this firepower.
Well, I like. See, here's the thing, though, Jeff. I hear what you're saying, but if the Patriots end up going deep into the playoffs, it's not going to be because they won some close games early. It's because they got better. It's because Gronk came back and Amendola got healthy, and you know, they just got better as a team.
Absolutely. I mean, I definitely agree with that. I guess I'm just, like, I guess focusing on one point, which is, when it gets tough, they know what to do. Like, are they feel confident in moving forward?
I mean, Belichick will tell you every different thing that you can have happen adds to your experience. Playing in the rain, playing in wind, playing through injury, all those little scenarios, situational things. The more that you can experience, the better. So in that respect, you're absolutely right. The fact that they're experiencing this will help them in another game where it might be close. Absolutely.
And the thing is I think, honestly, and this may be some reverse psychology, but I think it's going to help the defense too, because they're not going to – I really have felt too, like, the defense just kind of looked at Brady and they're like, fix it, you know. And now with the situation, what it is, they have to play. Like, it's not a matter of, like, you know, when they develop. It's like, you guys either do this now or else, you know, we're in trouble. And I think that maybe some of those guys will play at a higher level because they know that they have to be a part of the team. Like, they're not there to slow down the other guys.
Right.
It's like if they don't play, the team loses.
We hope that happens, or the pressure gets to them and they fold completely. And
yeah, I mean, that's the thing. The hope is you don't get to the point where it's like that, you know, F it attitude where it's like, well, you know, we're screwed, you know, so let's just quit. I mean, that's what you hope they don't do.
Like the Colts.
I look at Belichick and Brady and I say, like, I keep thinking of that Belichick quote from the Football Life documentary where he says, you know, I just can't get this team to play the way they need to play.
Right.
And I don't think that he's talking about stats or talent. It's more of like an attitude, like a winning attitude when he says, you know, the tougher the game got, the worse we played. Mm-hmm. And I just think that if we get in these games where we're not guaranteed to win, or we don't look at, like, oh, we're easily going to beat Buffalo twice, we're easily going to beat Miami twice, we're easily going to beat New York twice, and it's like, no, we really have to play to win. Like, it's not you know, maybe we play, or what team shows up, you know, or we get socked in the mouth in the first quarter and then we fold to the first, you know, three. You know, it's one of those things that, like I think that I want to see them. I hope that this makes them, my hope is that this makes them hungry. Like, I mean, like, they're not at the top. Like, when they ranked New England at 6th, like, in the power rankings on NFL.com, my head exploded. I'm
right.
Like, they're not 6th.
No.
I'm like, rank them down. Move them down.
Yeah, sure. No, absolutely.
Brady. All
right, Jeff. All right, keep the faith, Jeff. All right.
Thanks,
Jeff in Pennsylvania. Good
call. Take a breath, Jeff.
No, it's okay. He's, hey, look, this is what we're here for. This is therapy. The doctor's office is open.
I told you, I'd buy his theory a little bit if it comes in a couple weeks against the Bengals or something like that. I find hard buying into too much of that. Now, there's an aspect of it. Okay, you're fighting to the finish, and I have found it interesting. I think Brady, after week one, said, I know we'll fight to the end. And I think there's been times where he has said in, like, November, well, we're going to find out what kind of football team we are. So if he legitimately believes he already knows that 53 guys are going to fight to the end, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
It's also a good thing if you execute and go out there and make plays and play the way you're supposed to.
Right. Dan and Harriet's on the line. Hey, Dan.
Well, well, guys, fear not, for as long last I have returned.
I have been missing you. I actually thought of, I thought the last guy kind of sounded like you, and I was thinking of you because of that.
Nobody sounds like me.
Hopefully you don't talk as much as he does.
Underdog does a little bit.
But anyway, so I have returned, and you know what that means. It means the Patriots have or are about to do something wrong.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh. Yep. So what do you expect that to be? What are you projecting? They rush back a player who's injured, maybe?
Exactly. That's exactly. Yeah, I think you and me are on the same wavelength, actually.
Wow, sounds like a negative wavelength.
So what do you think, Dan? They're going to rush back Gronkowski? He's not ready?
Well, actually, I want to talk about Amendola, although I guess they're kind of intertwined at this point. But I think bringing back Amendola before he is 100% ready would be a colossal mistake for just about everybody involved in the team. And I'm going to give you two reasons why, and then you can let me go. First of all, if you bring him back before he's ready, obviously you risk the re-injury factor. And it raises an interesting question, I think, for both Phil and Mr. Kraft, and that's, what were you doing? Were you bringing this guy in to make more impressive plays than Welker in the playoffs when you need them? Or did you bring him in so that he could play weeks, 1 through 8, so you can say, see, he's playing. We didn't make the wrong call here. Thoughts on that?
Okay.
Well, he already missed a game, so you already missed out on the playing weeks 1 to 8.
There's no arguing that this guy has had a history of injuries. I mean,
well, not now. There was, heading into the season.
Well, there wasn't really.
No, well, not for us. We were all on the same page.
Yeah, so, I mean, that he is injured now is really no surprise.
There's also no question that he's talented and can make
some
plays.
Right.
That's also not a question.
No, I totally agree.
You know,
he's a good player.
When you signed this guy, you were kind of whistling past the graveyard, hoping, well, maybe now he won't.
Well, not necessarily. You're having your medical look at things, and I don't know if
he doesn't have like a situation where, he's got a bad hip. Or he's
right.
He's just unlucky.
Exactly. It's, so medically,
right.
I think Dr. Gill has to say, well, I've looked at the x-rays. I've looked at the MRI. There is nothing I see that leads me to believe he's going to have an injury. Because I don't think a doctor can look at it like we can. Does he? Just say, well, the guy just seems to get injured a lot. Doesn't a doctor actually have to look?
Right.
Like, it's like a mechanic looks at a car and he looks through all the actual machinery and says, it doesn't look like a lemon. Whereas the guy who drives it says, that's funny because 3 days a week when I turn the key, it doesn't start. But the mechanic says, everything looks right. There's like two different views of that. There's a scientific and then there's like an anecdotal.
And scientifically,
he's fine.
He was fine.
Right.
And
anecdotally, he gets hurt.
Right.
You know who he is, Fred? He is Samuel L. Jackson in Unbreakable. Did you see that movie?
Yeah, but he had a condition.
Are we saying that Amendola has a condition?
Right, he had a condition.
Was,
he couldn't
I was,
get.
I was joking. It was
he
like comic.
He was like glass. You know.
I don't know.
Unbreakable was like the Bruce Willis and Samuel L. Jackson.
It was
it was basically a comic book come to life.
Shyamalan Ding Dong movie. What's his name?
M. Night Shyamalan. Shyamalan.
Right. No interest.
M. Night egocentric.
Right. And never mind.
Bruce Willis plays this guy who can't
like over the last 10 years.
Can never die.
Can't get hurt.
Can't get hurt. Can't get sick. Can't die. And Samuel L. Jackson is just the opposite. He gets hurt all the time. He's brittle.
That is kind of funny.
And they're
Welker versus Amendola. Little movie poster.
Anyway, Dan, sorry to divert your...
No, that was great. I mean, I haven't seen that movie, but, you also know what you're getting with Samuel L. Jackson, though. You know, somebody who is awesome and is going to draw a crowd, whereas Amendola seems to draw doctors around him. I'm just going to segue into my next point here, in that, you already know what Amendola can do for you if he's healthy. It's not as though you need to get extra work with him on routes. You know, he's already proven that. And that kind of leads to my next point, even though I already said that you're in a unique situation now where Brady doesn't exactly have a choice in this matter. He has to throw to these young guys, or they're not going to go very far. You can't throw to Edelman 14 times a game. You know, I liked Edelman. I thought he should be a bigger part of the offense for a long time, but, it's still Edelman. You know, he's got his injury problems too. And we've been sold this line that we are building for the future so we can be competitive each and every year. But as soon as a guy doesn't seem to be working out for them, it's, well, we got to move on because we got to win this next game right now, unless his name is Jason McCourty, or Devin McCourty. I'm getting them backwards now. But, we'll get to the end of the season, and it's really a win-win situation for these guys where maybe everybody comes back, you get Amendola back, Gronkowski's healthy, and maybe even win a Super Bowl. Or alternatively, and what I think is also good, maybe we didn't win as many games as we could have. We didn't win the playoff game. But at least we can remove all doubt that this particular guy did or did not work, and we know what we're going to be looking for next off. And that's all I got, and I'll see you later.
Thanks, Dan.
But in terms of the rookie receivers, even if they are, like, pretty bad this year, do you just totally cut ties with all of them? Do you just say, I know what I have? They're not good. I mean, haven't we seen young receivers sometimes take some time to develop?
I think you've got to bring in, you know, whether it's free agency or whatever, you get to bring in some players and let them duke it out in camp.
Right. Well, you wouldn't cut ties with these three and say they suck.
Some of them might end up getting cut before next season.
Oh, yeah. Like Tompkins, as an undrafted guy, he doesn't have a lot of security if he sucks.
Right.
Now, Dobson is going to be here next summer virtually no matter what.
I think it's, you know, wasn't it usually at least a year before a rookie receiver got it?
Yeah. A lot of times it takes time. Very few A.J. Greens, Calvin Johnsons who roll out of bed. It's 1,000 yards.
Even Terry Glenn was an anomaly with the season he had his rookie year.
But again, but having said that, and I know, you know, they would never admit it, Robert Kraft or Bill Belichick, but they must see the same window we see as far as Tom Brady. You know, and it isn't fair.
Tom doesn't.
It isn't fair to, like, you know, surround him with a supporting cast that, you know, can't do it.
Well, they don't think they can't do it. They put him on the team because they think they can do it.
If you go through the season and it hasn't gotten any better,
then they will bring in veteran receivers, first round pick. They will make changes.
You have to make changes.
They don't. That's the one thing we can give them credit for. They don't always make the right decision. But they see a problem, and they seem to try to, you know, Aqib Talib. You suck in the secondary. They make a trade for Aqib Talib.
Right.
You know, you need tight ends. You draft tight ends. You need receivers. You draft. For the most part, they now they screw up in how they do it sometimes, but they address it. They don't whistle past the problem.
Do you think they? Well, we talked about this yesterday. You know, the trade. You know,
everybody that was blowing up my Twitter, as Fred would say. Everybody wants Kenny Britt now because he got benched.
Well, I want no part of Kenny.
I know, but everybody wants him. Everybody is on board with the Kenny Britt
thing. Because everybody looks at the talent and they don't look at the repercussions.
Right. Yeah, I don't think the Kenny Britt thing would work or is a good idea. Now Terrell Owens.
Yeah.
Oh, really? What is he? 50?
I think he's being
facetious.
39-year-old guy who can't catch. I mean, that's what we need to add.
Yeah, talk about drops.
Right.
You know,
you're going to get a lot more of those.
A lot of catches too.
Yeah, but
how about making a run?
I mean, he's not exactly on the Kenbrell Tompkins where he has four career catches and 25
career
drops.
Make a run at Freddie's guy. Fred thinks this would all be all fixed if we just got Emmanuel Sanders.
Yeah. It's really working out for them in Pittsburgh.
Why not trade for him? You're going to give a third round pick to him for him, right?
So just give a third round pick.
Trade a third round pick for him.
Right now for him.
You'd give a second round pick for Emmanuel Sanders?
Yep, I sure would.
You think more of Emmanuel Sanders than most people.
He thinks more of Emmanuel Sanders than Mrs. Sanders.
And I'd also like to ask, again, had your little thing played out, would Julian Edelman be on the football team?
Yeah, but now you have the opportunity to get them both. You don't have to ask. Would they be there? Would you be willing to give
a third round? I spun my finger after it
popped. Would you be willing to give a third round pick for him?
Probably not.
So you just think no matter what, these guys are going to get better and you'd be fine?
No, that's the Paul Perillo.
But I think what he's saying is you're not getting that much better by adding Emmanuel Sanders.
Yeah,
based on what you've seen the 2 weeks, you're getting significantly better.
I think you're S-O-L.
An NFL player, because right now you don't have NFL players.
They
might be better. They might get better, but in two games,
I think to me, I'm with
21.
Fred. If this works out, it'll be because Gronk and Amendola are back and healthy. Edelman stays as your complimentary guy, and one of the rookies adds in. Boom. Okay, that's an offense. You have an actual offense if you do that. If that doesn't happen, I think you are in trouble.
I think you're in trouble even if all that happens positively. I don't think you have enough offensively.
But you still think they're going to win 12 games.
And you still think somebody will catch the passes and it'll always work out for Brady.
I think that little.
Belichick.
And by the way.
Well, both.
I have not wavered from this at all. I think that little of the rest of the league that, yes, I still think they'll win 12 games. And I never thought they were a threat with the current cast of characters. I have not wavered from that. To me, they're not a threat to go to the Super Bowl. And they're not a threat to be a deep playoff team with what they have right now. And I haven't changed my opinion on that. I said that back in June.
Marco writes in, hey, Fred, Paul, Andy, and the Sergio Brown of Internet Radio. That would be Eric. Wow. Sergio Brown, he's a pro. I think Paul and Andy are right that the minority of fans are calling it a doomed season. The rookie receivers made some mistakes, but it is way too early to think the rest of the season is going to continue like this. Welker, Floyd, Hernandez all dropped passes last season, and they even had miscommunications with Tom. Miscommunications are going to happen throughout the season as long as the drops don't happen throughout the season. I did like how Dobson finally created separation. Why do you think Boyce was only given two snaps on Thursday?
It's just the way it worked out.
I don't think he was given any.
Yeah, there's conflicting reports. I don't know. NFL says none.
I don't get that. I agree with the emailer. I asked Bill about it, didn't really get any answer on it, but I don't. They had opportunities to make plays downfield, and I think that's his strong suit. I would have thought that you know, unless maybe they thought they would have had been, if he's out there, that changes the defense and that takes that away. I don't know. Maybe they feel like they got guys open downfield because of the personnel that they had on the field.
Sure.
I really don't know. But I would have thought that based on the struggle that was last Thursday night, why not give him an opportunity? Didn't make any sense to me. Unless he's dealing with something physically that we don't know about.
John in South Carolina. Hey, guys. And Eric, I live in South Carolina where we don't have the luxury of a unified fan experience. Most of the people I encounter do not pull for any NFL team, but they do love to pull against your team. So maybe Patriots Nation have not lost faith in the Pats, but I can tell you this, everyone around here thinks they are done. Am I worried? Yes, but I have been worried since 1985. This is being a fan, a sometimes realistic, sometimes unrealistic belief my team will win it all. You can't be a homer if you're a fan. All fans are homers. You can't be a homer if you're a fan. All fans are homers. We all see our team in a positive light.
If you're looking at it that way, I would agree.
I would sure rather be surrounded by homers than some of the fair-weather fans who turn and run at every sign of a fight.
Like Fred.
I do not see the Patriots as cheating wimps who are coddled by the NFL, led by an evil hooded man and an overrated quarterback who gets everything he wants. However, if you read the post following a New England Patriots article, that is sure what I'll read. I appreciate, did Kevin just play the hamster dance? What the hell? The receivers will get better, but I can't stop worrying about our offensive line. Okay, just a little non sequitur there to the offensive line.
That might be
line.
The thing I'm least worried about.
You should be least worried about based on what we've talked about, but I'm worried about everything.
Really?
I don't think anything's looked good on offense. Anything.
The
quarterbacks, the running backs, the wide receivers, the tight ends, or the offensive line. I don't think any of them have looked good. Right? Am I wrong there?
I think it's been a pretty much a team thing.
Yeah, I did find it interesting in my Tommy Kelly interview. He kind of, I asked about the first 2 weeks.
Out of that, huh?
Well, it just kind of struck me that he said, you know, the struggles, and he said, you know, Tom and the offense, they'll get it together or something. And I found it interesting that I didn't specifically ask.
I didn't tell him to say that.
And he kind of brought up that, you know, they'll get it together. So it's kind of on his mind at some way that the offense
doesn't. I think it's pretty obvious.
No, I know, but they don't always acknowledge the obvious. You know how it is around here.
He's different, though, Tommy Kelly.
He's a good guy. Good guy. I hope he has good luck with the child in the next week at some point.
Josh in Waterloo, Iowa.
Having a baby. Big one.
You know, even the best will hit a point when it's their time to retire. It may be a physical thing or sometime a mental thing, but nobody can perform to the highest standards forever. That is why he should retire. And I don't know who he's talking about yet, but I'm talking, of course, about Big Al. He clearly has mentally lost it. His body is still willing, but his mind is not. He has no problem dialing the phone and can still even hold it to his ear with the best of them. But his mind has proven to have gone bye-bye. Hey, Al, do you think we could even find a trade partner for Brady at this point, or is he so crappy that we are now stuck with him?
He's only inside the 10.
On first and goal inside the 10.
Maybe the Jags are dumb enough that we could finally get a quality quarterback like Gabbert. Or better yet, Sanchez is rumored to be on the trading block. That's a win-win for us. We can upgrade our quarterback while giving them our scrap heap quarterback to make them worse. Know when to hang it up, Al.
Wow. Literally,
you can see Al like seething right now.
Al actually wasn't doing that bad until he started talking about bringing.
That's the only part that I disagreed with. Right. Is the whole inside first and goal inside the 10.
And then it really blew up when he brought up the name Tebow.
Well,
reached the heights of ridiculousness.
That's the underlying thing there. There's always something, you know. Whenever anybody brings something like that up, you know, there's an ulterior motive and an agenda. Right. The Tebowites. That's where they fall back on. Because of all his enormous success in his 9-7 career record. All he does is win.
Well, that's what I find funny is, like, you're seeing what a Tebow offense looks like. 50% completions, a lot of balls hitting the ground, punting like 6 straight times. We've actually seen a Tebow offense out here with Brady leading it.
So if Tebow was here, they'd be 2-0?
Probably in ugly-ass wins that you really can't explain.
I don't think so.
Scott writes, and I have to believe that there is another receiver available that can be more valuable than Boyce right now. Experience means nothing if they can't get the ball to him. Is Gaffney still out there? Is he not? Okay, if he can't play, how about some other retread that knows where to go? If you are the 5th receiver on this team right now, that is pretty low in the NFL depth chart. And I have to believe that there is some help out there somewhere. Well, he might get claimed off the practice squad. Good, because right now he's a Jag in training. Can't we get a full-fledged Jag right now and take our chances that he survives on the practice squad where he might see balls thrown his way? He is rotting on the vine, and this can't be a good thing. It's game two. I mean, he's going to play. Don't worry. Boyce will be out there.
I think so.
My question would be, okay, so he's fifth, so you want to get rid of him and replace him with a fifth receiver?
Who won't play and has no chance of developing.
You know, I'm all for I think there's an argument that could be made that maybe if they had one guy that Brady had a little bit of comfort with in light of Amendola's injury. Now, if Amendola were healthy, this would be a non-factor. But he's not. So if you had one guy like a Branch who is not going to go out there and do much for you, but
he
at least gives you one guy in the middle of the field who might be able to catch a ball every once in a while, they didn't have that the other night. You know, they need maybe one guy, but why? I agree with Andy. Why do you want to replace guys like Dobson and Boyce and stunt their growth? That really doesn't make a lot of sense at this stage.
You made your bed, Paul.
Yeah, I mean, you might have made the wrong choices.
Right.
We'll find out.
Right.
We all have to live with the choices we make in this life.
Sean says that last show we mentioned we were wondering if there was such a thing as a sea hare, and I guess there is, according to
good that
Wikipedia.
You brought that up.
What's a sea hare?
It's a rabbit that lives in the ocean, according to Andy.
And you were wondering if there was such a thing?
You know what we're talking about, right?
No.
Oh, well, I'll explain it to you off air then.
Never mind.
You know when you say sea
something's
next
really
Tuesday?
Close? Something's really close. It's within a...
Oh, yeah, a hare.
Sea
right.
hare.
Yeah. See you next Tuesday.
Right.
And I said, a sea hare. And I said, you know, it's like a seahorse. It's a rabbit in the sea. No, don't go into a dirty thought.
Okay. I wasn't listening.
Obviously.
You never listen to us.
And it hurts a little bit
right
here.
On the logo talk, Ian from the UK. So Pat Patriots is like a Marmite. What's a Marmite, Eric? Do you know?
Marmite, that's a sandwich. They use it on sandwiches in the UK.
Not even close. Not even close, Eric.
Marmite, you're thinking of marmalade.
No, Marmite is something they use on sandwiches.
I was going to get mad.
Yeah, because it's true.
He says
when the guy needs a little more strength, I need a Marmite.
According to Ian, a Marmite is something you either love it or you hate it.
You're right. It's a food item, Fred.
What?
Okay, I don't know.
It's a food item in the UK.
That
Marmite.
You love it,
but you're saying it's a noun. He's saying it's an adjective. Right?
No.
Noun. Says, so Pat Patriot's like a Marmite. You either love it or you hate it.
A Marmite.
Oh, wait. He might be talking about a food that is very distinct.
Yes. Eric might be right. There might be
like
polarizing
kelp or
thoughts
something.
On people
exactly.
who like it.
People either like it or
you
like
love
spam.
It or you hate it.
Right.
The old stuff, that spam, the stuff that came in the can, it was like a ham.
Yeah.
Some people really loved spam.
Right.
But
there's
then,
like conventions
then,
for spam.
But then Marmite can be anything. It doesn't have to be anything. It's just
Marmite
is
sounds like he is saying it's a specific gross food that some people love.
And he says it's like a Marmite.
So it is. Marmite is a type of food.
Well, maybe.
Well, that's what
Eric is saying. If Eric is right, it plays in line with the email.
Just wonder what you think of the new two-tone Jaguars helmet. I, for one, think they look awful.
Waffle.
They look like a black helmet that has been left out in the sun for a couple of years and have faded.
A little bit.
And
they
what's
wore golden
opinion?
Ones the other
are
day,
the
didn't
best
they?
Team logos in the
two-tone.
NFL. I personally
depends
like the
you
Texans
see them.
And Broncos.
Yeah.
Paul,
you know what I think about the Jags helmets? If they were putting up 55 points, they'd seem a lot cooler.
Yeah.
The new logo would seem a lot cooler.
Yeah, I think they'd be just as ugly.
What's the best logo in your opinion?
Best logo in my
ever?
Opinion.
Or right now?
Right now in the NFL.
It's hard to beat the Vikings helmet or the Bengals, I think. I like the Bengals stripes.
The Bengals.
Yeah, I've always liked the Bengals stripes.
I like Michigan.
In the NFL.
Oh.
I hate Michigan. Sorry.
Steelers are cool.
Plus, it's Delaware's helmet anyway.
That's true. I don't like the Steelers.
I've always kind of liked the old Buck with the knife in his mouth.
I did too.
and the plume.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
I always kind of like that.
Kansas City, I kind of like.
Yeah, it's old school.
Chicago.
I don't really like the plain ones. The Ravens,
mm-hmm.
I don't mind.
Mm-hmm.
Seahawks, I used
yeah,
to like. I used
I do.
To like these.
I like
Seahawks,
the
not sea hares.
Right, yes.
Oh, for God's sake.
What do you like?
What do I like?
I mean, you have a shirt from every team
you must
from your
like
various
the Colts
points.
Then, Eric. If you like the
old
Bears,
school stuff,
yeah, like the kind of the plain
Browns.
Yeah,
and the Browns is the worst ever.
Green Bay.
Green Bay. Yeah, so those are the That's ones. Classic. I don't like.
Those are the classic.
Those are the ones I don't really
Now, you're
like.
Talking visual
Cleveland
logo.
Yeah. The Cleveland logo's great.
Because I also have my thing where I like the cats. I like the ability to put the and the eyes and the different things that the cat brings to the table.
Right.
But I'm not
birds?
Sure the panther.
What about birds? Eagles, falcons.
I think he just had a stroke.
I like the cats better.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure the panther's cat. Is that
the panther?
Cool
That's
cat.
The panther's one, isn't it? Kevin?
I don't know. I just have it under Jungle Cat.
Oh. Well, John Rook is here.
As opposed to Jungle Fever.
Yeah. Speaking of cats, here's a cool one. Fever. Hey, John.
Oh, nice.
Wow.
Nice segue, Fred. Was that professionally done?
Well, I was just looking at your glasses.
Yeah. The one with the little diamond studs
right.
on the side here?
And
the headlights. And the headlights.
So, like, John's
they're big in the nursing home.
John's up next with the
Why are you saying
playbook.
Top Cat?
Top Cat.
The indisputable leader of the game.
Why were you singing Top Hat?
Because he liked it. We had Tom Curran on as a guest at one time. That's
GTC.
What do we got on playbook today, John?
What do we have on playbook today? Well, you know, frankly, I think there's been much, you know, ado about nothing in terms of offense. The way that the roster seems to be somewhat undermanned at this stage of the game. So we're going to discuss that a little bit more today. Also, Doug Kyed from Nesson, who covers the Patriots for Nesson.com. He's going to join us. He's an Emerson alum.
That's how you pronounce it.
Fred,
okay,
so
great.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
I was thinking that, too.
What's that?
Kyed.
That's how you pronounce it.
That's how you pronounce it.
Pretty sure.
Okay, maybe not.
We'll talk to Doug from Nesson.
Yeah, absolutely. But
Doug's
he's going to join us, and we'll look at. He's got some interesting takes on that particular subject, and obviously we turn our attentions toward the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who, in my estimation, are not the 30th best team in the NFL.
Okay,
27,
28, 27.
They're 0-2, but they're two kicks away from being
2-0. Oh, so you drank the Kool-Aid Bill was pouring earlier in the week.
I am not only drinking it, I am sucking it down,
okay.
baby.
They are two plays away.
John Rook is guzzling Kool-Aid. All
sucky,
right,
sucky,
he's up
sucky.
Next to Patriots playbook. We'll see you tomorrow.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.